Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C., 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
The soft drink.
7 Up.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, this is a cola nut. Ah!
Well, listen, I called. No, you called.
Yeah, no, I called. I don't want to speak to you. I want to speak to some strapping young man with muscles. I've got some jobs around the house.
There aren't any around here.
Yeah, there's none here. Only fat loads around here.
All right. Which wrong number, then?
Which fat load do you need to talk to?
I was thinking of the men I've seen lately, and I chose you how slim my piggins are. Jimmy was the most muscular.
Well, Jimmy would be the most muscular of the...
Yes.
What do you need? The stuff moved to the beach? Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, right.
Oh,
and
all
I know,
right.
Yeah, right. Okay. So I know not to even ask you.
Jimmy, well, Jimmy would be the slender. Charles Broyhill, also the wiriest.
Wiry.
If
I'm looking for the Barney Fife of movers.
Well, all right. Hold on. I'll let you talk to him.
Wait a minute. Just to stroke your ego a little bit. You are getting very muscular. Ooh. And those you do have bulging biceps now.
Well, yes, I do.
You have bulging biceps?
Yeah, well, I lift the weights every day.
Yeah, but you don't want to use them, so what?
No, I don't. No, I'm only getting buff so I look good.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to do any work, for goodness sakes.
Yeah, I know.
I got all tired out at that big church sale a couple of weeks ago when I had to lift these heavy tables.
Yeah.
And when I got done with that, I sat down, I said, whew. I said to my kid, I said, God, am I exhausted? It's a good thing I'm lifting weights. And he said, Dan, the guy you were lifting that table was about 90 years old.
Yeah, right. You were lifting him with me and a man of the cloth and a 90-year-old.
Well, there's no reason a man of the cloth couldn't be buff, couldn't work out.
Yeah. And you've got those muscles handy if you ever need them.
Yeah.
Like I would know what to do with them.
Like if you ever had to duck into a phone booth and save someone's life.
Yeah.
I've never been in a fight in my life. And as I said the other day, if I was ever in a fight, I bet I would kick. Because I would do anything I could to win. How was our son? We had the thrill last night of our kid waking up and violently throwing up.
Oh, a little stomach virus.
Yes.
Yeah, he's got a little flu.
All right. Well, put him to work. I was...
He didn't have that catered in, did he? That meal that he had last evening, like the Chicago Bulls?
No.
Okay.
Although, I don't know where he got this. You know, kids are always getting stuff from kids.
Yeah.
The most realistic ad on TV is the one for that soap, where they show a kid walking down the street and, like, picking up garbage.
Oh, yeah. And then the mother says, stop!
And, like, picking his nose.
Sure.
There's, like, a dead fish in the street. The kid's picking it up. And
rubbing his hands.
And he comes home and he goes right to the dinner table. The mom says, wash your hands first. You never know where kids get stuff from. Well, listen,
I have said to you on many of occasions.
What?
Well, wash your hands. And would you say to me, mind your own business? And then I've had to point out to you when we were going out to dinner that if my hands were going in the same bread basket as your hands were going,
listen,
I demanded you wash your hands first.
Listen, I am a hand washer. The only time I don't wash my hands is if I get up in the middle of the night or right before I go to bed.
You're so full of it because you have told me, and there are tapes probably somewhere to back this up, that when you go to the bathroom I don't move the toilet lid with parts other than your hands.
Yes, that's
so
exactly. That's what I'm speaking about. Late at night, what I will do is I brush my teeth, I wash my face, I will go over with my knee, I kick up the toilet seat.
You led me to believe it was not your knee. It was a little higher than your knee.
Wow. Higher than my knee.
That's pretty incredible that you can do that with the toilet seat.
Right.
That's,
I got what you're saying.
Well, I'll tell you, get that on videotape. We'll market that this Christmas.
I wish I could do that. Well, listen, when our son gets over his illness, put him to work writing songs.
No.
No!
Yeah, right.
I'm only kidding. Hold on a second.
All right.
Oh, you know what I found today up in the office? You know there are some really old pictures of us up there. Of you and me, honey?
Oh, really?
I'm still talking to you.
I'm listening.
Pictures. I know I said hold on a second, but
I'm just listening.
I was reminded that I saw these pictures. Pictures of us from Pittsburgh.
Yeah?
Like from 15 years ago when I was a disc jockey there.
Oh.
And one really great picture. It's too bad we don't have a newsletter anymore. Although if we could ever get that web page going, we could post that.
Yeah.
Although that's the type of worthless thing that you hear about on a web page. Then you, you turn it on and you go, oh, well, big deal, it's a picture.
Well, what was, how did you look in the picture?
What is the picture?
Well, it's a funny picture. It's a picture nobody would get except someone in the radio business, because you had your picture taken with Helen Keller. See, there was a guy that owned
That's
the
terrific.
There's a guy who owned the station
right.
that I worked for in Pittsburgh. His name is Art Keller.
Uh-huh. Helen!
And he had a daughter, and for some reason, he named her Helen.
Wow. Oh, so it was not the real Helen Keller.
It was another Helen, but she was in the radio business. She was as famous as the other Helen
Keller.
She
used her her radio name, Helen Keller.
And there's a picture of my wife with her arm around this lady, and it's some other disc jockey. It was Burger Jeff or whatever the disc jockey is standing next to you, and he's got his arm like, I want to get my face in the picture of Helen Keller also.
It's Frida and this Burger Jeff and Helen Keller.
Yes.
You know, that was a question I was talking about with a friend the other day, saying about somebody else who had a different name, thinking, why? Now, you can understand if they named their child Helen Keller before Helen Keller was famous, but they named their child Helen Keller after there was already a well-known Helen Keller.
Yeah. Sure, there was a kid in high school that was named Ronald McDonald.
Yes, but that was before he became famous.
No. They named that kid Ronald McDonald when they had a McDonald's restaurant.
Darling, McDonald's didn't start to get popular around here until when I was like 6 or 7 or something. I remember being real little and McDonald's were new. So this kid was born before.
Do you remember that too? I mean, I do. I remember that too, that they, when they first came on the scene.
Oh,
yeah.
What a big deal. I mean, they really had the golden arches and everything.
Yeah. Seems to be someone who was your age, and you are older than me. You're 4 years older than me. Yeah. Someone your age certainly would be in the parameter, and you went to school with the Ronald McDonald,
well,
right?
But I'm telling you that they named their child Ronald McDonald before there was an advertising campaign with a clown with curly red hair. I mean,
I'd like to research that, but before I don't have time.
But no, see, if your mind worked correctly, you'd realize what I'm saying is so, because when there was no Ronald McDonald when I was 6, you know there was no Ronald McDonald when I was 0.
All right, I guess my point is there was a Ronald McDonald when you were 6. You just were not aware that there was a Ronald McDonald when you were 6.
McDonald's were brand new.
How old were you when you were 6? I mean, what year?
See, that's the way your mind works.
Is that a trick question? You are trying to trick her, Don.
What year was it when you were 6?
I proved my point.
Honey, what year was it when you were 6?
I was born in 1955. It was the early 60s.
Listen, by 1961, there certainly was such a presence as Ronald McDonald.
Do you think so? I don't think so.
No.
Really?
No.
I don't think so.
You're incorrect, my boo-boo-boo.
I think so.
Well, you know, we've got those people. We've got guys in the basement of the science building.
Somebody will look it up.
That'll figure that out.
Speedy was the original mascot.
And our friend, or this kid, Ronald McDonald, was born in the late 50s. There was no Ronald.
You know, I think we might have to defer to the two seniors here who are indicating that. Now, Buzz is saying it. 61, there wasn't a Ronald McDonald.
No, I don't think so. Yeah. Originally, they had Speedy or Speedy McBurger or whatever his name was. When the burgers were 15 cents.
I remember that. And remember
what did you guys have to have your horse-driven carriages to take you
yes,
up to McDonald's then?
And Buzz, you remember how weird it was to have those little french fries, how unusual, and not to eat them with ketchup was revolutionary.
Well, see, you're not, and now I'm still in that frame, too. I remember
Mike,
the
you're
first
a young
time.
Man. Listen, don't put yourself in that category. You're a young man.
Do you remember?
your future's ahead of you, baby.
The first McDonald's, though, I do remember the thin french fries and the thin hamburgers, which I went nuts, and my mom and dad, you know, were like, they were saying to us, that's not such a big deal. And I always used to say, I want the hamburgers to be just like they are at McDonald's, really thin, and you make them thick. This is where kids can be idiots, too.
I would just like to point out, and I'm sorry I started this, because McDonald's will not advertise on our show because of their holier-than-thou attitude.
Mm-hmm.
So screw them.
Mm-hmm. Now, the first one we ever got in our hometown was Hardee's, anyway. That's the first burger.
Hardee's rules, Mike.
Yeah, Hardee's was great.
But Hardee's rules.
There was another girl growing up named Candy Bar. Now, that's another mother who named her child a weird name just to be weird.
Well, that's not as good. Listen, when you go upstairs, look at those pictures that I set out in the office, because it's you and Helen Keller, and if that's not
Now, that was mean. I think that's mean to name a child Helen Keller.
Yeah. Oh, it was funny. And God, did all the guys around the station talk about that? Because, you know, you could say it right out loud. You could say, hey.
Hey, Helen Keller.
Yeah, did you see Helen Keller?
Yeah. And plus.
Really idiotic stuff. And there's also a picture of me and you standing by a ridiculous big blow-up bee. Because we worked at a station that was B something, so they had this big. And I'm looking at the picture. I'm trying. Why would we possibly save a picture of a mascot? And then I realize that I had taken the picture because Helen Keller was standing by the mat. I don't, you know.
You had a Helen Keller obsession, is what you
know,
had.
I don't know how many beers I had that day, but for whatever reason.
It's a candid little snapshot of Helen Keller.
And she's real small in the picture. Like, you can hardly pick her out.
Uh-huh. But let me tell you one more thing about this name thing, too. I get indignant when people say to me, did you name your child after Bart Simpson?
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know. How?
Well, we did.
Anyway, Bart Simpson came along after Bart, and
that's
why would we be so stupid to name our child after a cartoon character? We name our children after football players, and they better not forget it.
Yeah.
Not
well, listen,
stupid
don't
like
mock me because I named Bart after a football player. That's a football player. Well, I will tell you something. When we had your birthday party, mm-hmm. I had everybody in tears with that story about Bart Starr seeing me when I was in the hospital.
I'm sure there was no liquor involved.
All right, they were kind of liquored up.
Yeah, right.
We're naming our second child Speed Racer.
Yeah.
We're really looking forward to that.
Name it after, you know, it was at the time when we were naming after athletes, I was just thankful that he didn't love, like, Too Tall Jones or something.
All right. Listen, I think the Frida show is about over.
Oh.
You wanted to speak to Jimmy?
Yes, thank
okay.
you.
Okay, all right.
Sorry,
Jimmy,
I wore out my welcome.
Jimmy, would you pick up the line, please?
Hello.
Hi, Jimmy.
Hello. You know, I was going to ask Buzz something last night, and it's something that you and I were talking about a moment ago.
Uh-huh.
Buzz, last night, I had another of my they're not endless, but they are less frequent than they used to be, awkward moments with Buzz.
Really?
I thought it was awkward.
This was very kind of you.
You remember the time that Buzz and I both pulled into the parking lot together at the same time?
Yes.
And he got out of his car and, you know, went running ahead, and I thought, you know, he should stop it at least, you know, give me a pedestrian hello, how you doing?
Of course.
Well, last night, you know, right on the heels of that, and you know how upset I am about that.
You're very, I learned years ago that you're very sensitive about things like that.
Well, last night, everybody gets in the cars, and we're going away, and you were giving Rabe.
Yeah, I had the boy in the car.
A ride to pick up his car, which was at the mechanics.
Right. Yeah, I had to show him how to adjust the seat because he really was actually putting a dent in the roof of the car. he is so large that he gets in there, and the passenger seat was set for my wife, who's 4'10 and a half. And Rob sits in the car, and all of a sudden I see his head pressing up against the fabric at the top of the car, and I said, adjust the seat. No, that's not necessary. Go ahead, adjust the seat. Ah, there we are.
So Mike and Rob go driving away, and I get in my car, and I turn it on, and I pull to the end of the driveway, and then I see like a kid standing at a bus stop.
Yeah.
It's Buzz.
Sitting on the curb.
Right, he's just standing there, he's got his briefcase. So I look at him for a minute, and it's just that second we just look at each other.
Yeah.
And I looked and I said, you know, hey, what are you doing? Do you need a ride?
Uh-huh.
And he said, no, that's all right. With a faraway look in his eyes. He says,
right.
No, you know, that's all right. Rob's coming to pick me up.
Yeah.
And I thought, well.
I said, no, thank you. Rob is coming to get me.
And then for some reason I felt weird because as I drove away, I looked in my rearview mirror, and there you were just standing like a little kid with his lunchbox. Just standing there. And I thought, how could Rob be coming to pick you up when Mike took Rob to pick up his car last night? And then I talked to Mike about this on the air.
And Rob told me that both Buzz and Rob were getting their car serviced at the same time. And when you told me about that, I said, well, I could have given you a lift to get your car, too.
My car was at a different place.
Was it the same place where I gave you a lift last time?
And yes, and you have a two-seater, right?
No, I don't have a two-seater.
Oh, okay. All right.
God, how long have we been working together?
I don't know.
The FU car. You know the FU car.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a four-door.
Oh, okay. I didn't know you had room, and I didn't want to invite myself.
See, there it is again. There it is. There's the ever-so-polite Buzz Burbank.
It's basically on the way, and even though it would be a little diversion for Rob, I would have given you a ride before Rob.
Well, it's very nice of you, but
yeah, know your place in the food chain.
Normally, Rob and I give each other rides. This was a rare occasion where we both took our cars in to different mechanics on the same day, and I didn't want to make you, Mike, go two places, and I wanted to take up your offer, Don, but
I would have given you a ride
because
home.
Then Rob would have come back and found me nowhere.
Oh,
and then I would have been like standing him up.
That's actually, that's a valid reason.
It's hard not to offend everybody.
All right, so you'd already arranged with Rob
yes.
that after Mike took Rob to get Rob's car,
exactly.
Rob was going to come all the way back to the station to pick you up to take you home.
He was maybe back in 5 minutes.
Maybe I've been working, you know, I know you worked with Don before, but mm-hmm. I've been working with him, I guess, for the longest sustained time.
Right.
And the play on that, just a piece of advice that uh-huh. I'm giving you here. He comes out and says, hey, can I give you a lift?
Right.
You take the ride, and then you explain to Rob the day after what happened.
Well, in the future, that's what I'll do.
I was just trying to help.
I'm just kidding.
I was just trying to help, and I wasn't able to.
It was very nice.
I wasn't able to put it all together until Mike
told me.
Did you
feel a little weird? And you felt your feelings were hurt driving away.
Yes. As I looked in the rearview mirror, and you were standing there by yourself, I'm thinking, well, now, how can Rob come to pick you up when I know that Mike has just taken Rob to get his car at the mechanic? And I swear, I adjust the rearview mirror, and then you are standing there.
The only mistake I made driving Rob to his mechanic is it's a two-lane divided highway. You got two lanes on one side, you got two lanes on the other side. And the only mistake I made, I had to take a left turn, go across the other two lanes of traffic, turn around in the gas station, come out to the light again and shoot across. What I would have done if I had to do it again, I would have let him out on the little concrete strip.
And let him walk.
Yes, it was, that was the only... Robin,
you are much too nice, Mike.
I hope you know that's the only mistake I made with that, but I made him wear the hat.
And it would have been more...
His beanie.
His beanie with the little propeller on it.
It would have been more convenient for me to ride with you. I would have gotten home sooner, but I didn't want to hurt Rob's feelings, and I'd already...
There's your problem right there.
I already had a date.
Never consider Rob's feelings.
You know, technically, it would have been out of your way, though. The way you, the normal way that you go home, it would have been out of your way. But
I knew that.
You could have taken the option, but it would have technically been out of your way. So I know in the long run, you may have been disturbed by that.
By what? If I really had to drive Buzz home?
If you really had to take him...
I guarantee that if I had given you a ride home today, I probably would be bitching about the fact that I had to give you a ride home. Listen, I make no bones about it. I want my cake. I want to eat it, too.
Of course.
When I ask you for if you want a ride, I want you to say yes, but really... I don't want you to say yes, because I don't want to take you all the way to your house. Okay. But on the other hand, I'm driving away, and I feel bad. I see you standing there. I think, you know... You only live 20 minutes from my house. I could have taken you to your house.
Well, I wasn't going to my house. I was going to the mechanic 2 blocks away.
You know, all this would be unnecessary.
I could have taken you 2 blocks away.
Well,
why didn't you just say to me then last night, listen, I don't need a ride home, but my mechanic is 2 blocks away.
Well, because I'd already made arrangements with Rob to pick me up.
You know, this entire discussion would be unnecessary.
Why didn't Mike just take you, though?
This would be unnecessary if we adopted my idea of having the shuttle that I wanted everybody to use, where we all come to work in the same van.
That psychedelic bus.
All right. Well, never mind. Never mind.
Well, I'm sorry if anyone's feelings were hurt.
That's okay, pal.
Would you look at him in the rearview mirror and just see him back there going,
Yeah.
Yeah.
Felt bad. Like, hey, what did I do to Buzz, man? Was my car not good enough for you?
No, it's a very nice offer.
You would have been able to explain it to Rob the day after.
I thought of that later and kicked myself and thought, you know, I could have been home.
Because Rob wouldn't be offended because Rob would be still enjoying the euphoria of getting his big Caprice Classic back, all tuned up and ready to rev.
Mm-hmm. Ready to go 35 on the Beltway. turn those emergency flashers on and drive
for it, Rob.
35 in the left lane. All right, well, these are the tangled webs that we weave here.
What about Jimmy, though? What about, why didn't he ask Jimmy?
He's helping my wife with something.
Yeah. Well, no, he's helping your wife today, but what about yesterday?
I'm kidding. I don't know.
I thought he had to stay after.
Does Jimmy have a car? Does Jimmy own a car?
Yeah, why did Jimmy have to stay after? He wasn't on super double secret probation. Yeah.
Here comes Charles Broyhill.
And Broyhill, how come you couldn't give somebody a ride?
Jimmy has to do the promo, and I don't like people. I don't want anyone in my car.
He doesn't. He doesn't. You can barely get a hello out of him out of here.
And you know what? You got the attitude, Broyhill, as long as you're on the subject. You got the attitude about that car like it's a Rolls Royce, man.
Not at all.
His car?
Have you seen the way he treats his car?
You know, because it's a car like he's never driven before. It's a car that does not fit his personality at all.
All of his previous cars have been muscle cars.
Muscle cars, like it was a Grand National.
A Grand National before.
That had like
Honda.
A huge V8 engine.
And
now, what is that now you're driving? A Hyundai?
A Honda.
A Honda.
Honda.
When you came driving in the first day, a Honda. When you came driving in with that Honda the first day, I couldn't believe it. That is that's such an abnormal car for you.
But take a look at it. I mean, take a look at how immaculately, immaculately that car is cleaned.
I've washed it twice in the last year. It's white. I don't have to.
Yeah.
Really? All I know is that you treat that car like you used to treat your muscle cars.
Yeah.
Very special. You p- park it at that jaunty angle down in the parking lot, and you hover and you wait for the spots.
Did you put that big filling loosening sound system in it?
Yes, I did. It's bigger.
The time where you come up to the intersections and everyone else in like a 400 yard radius can enjoy your music as well.
And that's exactly the point. I mean, you're sitting in a light, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden you hear behind you, and you hear, and you look over, and it's a guy in a Honda. It's a guy like in a Honda that should be in a circus that has a bunch of clowns coming out of it. He's driving it like a muscle car.
And then, and the person that's ever driving those cars, always looking straight ahead. With, at, you know, what's wrong? Nothing's wrong. You know, they know everybody's looking at him because their car's going. All right.
Well, I think all the questions are answered.
Yeah. I think you're right, yep.
Hello. Don and Mike show.
Good afternoon.
Hello, you're on the air.
I was curious. We recently, I guess, picked up your show here in Austin, Texas.
Oh, well, then there must be many, many questions you have.
Well, you know, being new to the show, I was curious. Don's voice sounds so familiar to me. I was curious to know if he was originally in, you know, lived in Houston, did a radio show in the morning there.
In where?
Houston, Texas.
No, sir, we all sound the same. That wasn't me. I've been in many cities, but never in Houston.
Tell the truth. That's when you were Donnie Joe.
Well, I tell you, have you ever, I don't know if you guys even mentioned other radio shows, but in Houston there's a morning show called Stevens and Pruitt.
Stevens and Pruitt, yeah.
Yes, the Stevens and Pruitt show.
Super show. It might as well be the Joe and Schmo show. What about that?
Well, Stevens and Pruitt show, Graham, I believe.
What about them?
Well, I just...
Are they Stevens and Pruitt in the morning?
Yes.
Of course they are.
Sure. You know, any disc jockey is good when he has to put in the morning after his name.
Well,
the audience is so stupid they don't know what time they're getting up and listening to the radio.
I mean, out of Don, what's your last name?
Geronimo.
Okay. I just, your voice, I grew up in Houston years ago, and I used to listen to that morning show, and it was one of the funniest shows I ever heard.
Well,
Stevens and Pruitt show, sponsored by Pick Sweet Green Beans.
I was Stevens. Let's be honest. I was Stevens in a former life. You got me. You pegged me.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I was Stevens.
And
yeah.
I'm absolutely right. I'm Jack Pruitt.
It's us. You pegged us, but we don't like mentioning that on this show.
Yeah.
Okay.
So keep it quiet, please, okay?
Hey, I got a thought for the day.
Don is Ken Stevens. I'm Jack Pruitt.
I didn't know you were going.
Ken it was Stevens, either Ken or Connie. I didn't want to use Connie Stevens.
Yeah, I've been listening to this show, and I thought anybody who calls is sucker enough to call this show is like sticking the head in the lion's mouth.
Well, you should know that. You've been a fan of Stevens and Pruitt in the morning show.
Ken Stevens and Jack Pruitt. Fantastic program.
All right, goodbye.
Thanks.
Goodbye. Oh, my God.
Ken Stevens.
Yeah, we're Stevens and Pruitt. Who the hell are Stevens and Pruitt? How come they all come in twos?
Yeah.
I mean, we were one of the first to come in twos.
We come in twos.
You know what I mean.
I know exactly what you mean.
You know, pair up.
Yeah, we decided, though, it'd be kind of unique to just use the first names.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for simplicity's sake.
Yeah. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, Don.
Yes, Ken Stevens, Jack Pruitt with you.
Hi, you're next on the Stevens and Pruitt show.
Good afternoon, buddy.
Hey, you're doing it. What is with this DJ voice? Do they teach this in like DJ school or something?
Listen, I've never known a successful disc jockey who's ever been to disc jockey school. That, first off, that's a big misnomer.
Well, so then how'd they get the voice?
The voice? Anybody can get the voice, buddy. I'm sure you can put a big smile on your face.
How do you think Ken Stevens and Jack Pruitt did it?
And I want you to say, good morning, buddy. Come on, say it now.
Go ahead.
Good
morning, buddy.
All right, now, except when you say morning, you got to say it like morning. Good morning, buddy.
Morning.
He can't do it. Some people are more challenged than others.
Sad to say that you are not talented enough to be a disc jockey, and I can tell you firsthand it takes no talent to be a disc jockey.
I'm pretty bad off.
Try this one. Okie dokie.
Okie dokie.
Yeah, you show some promise there. How about this? Good looking Tuesday.
A good looking Tuesday.
Working for the weekend.
Working for the weekend.
All right, here's another great one. Hey, tell your boss to shop it.
What?
Tell your boss to shove it.
Your boss to shove it.
78 on the outside.
78 on the outside.
There you go.
All right, you got it. Go.
I'm a DJ now.
Yes, you are. Congratulations, Pinocchio. Today you were a real boy. Goodbye now. Bye, buddy.
He's quick. Yeah. There, and just hang up. There you go. He's got it. He's got what it takes.
We'll be back on the flip side. Chime time, 5 minutes till the big hour. Bing bong.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, hey. Be careful with that. That's the most powerful trank gun on the market.
Huh. Got her in Mexico.
Cool.
Yeah, it is cool. They say it can puncture the skin of a rhino from a...
Ow! Yes! That's awesome!
What?
You just took one in the jugular, man!
Whoa!
Yes!
This is bad?
You should pull that out.
Wait. Wait. Pull one out.
The dart, man. Got a dart in your neck.
You're crazy, man. I like you. But you're crazy.
I'm so tired.
The Don and Mike Show.
Zero tolerance for stupidity. The Don and Mike Show.
Let's call Olivet Spellman now, everybody's favorite mom. You know, she's the lady that we stumbled upon on the telephone about a year ago, and as it turns out, she didn't have a nice telephone. I think we were trying to call a high school kid in Kansas City who
with
had
a big head,
a big pumpkin head, and he had a head that was so big he had to have a custom-made football helmet. And as oftentimes happens, we got the wrong number.
Right.
And we ended up meeting this lady, Olivet Spellman, and she didn't have a television at work, so we got her a big screen TV, and we got her a satellite dish, and she still hasn't figured out how to work it.
No, but she was very appreciative of the fact that we gave her a satellite TV system.
And I think you'll find that she has a real unique energy. She really picks the show up.
I hope her family came to see her on Mother's Day or did something for her.
Yeah.
They kind of ignore her. That's another reason we
got
her.
And my money is she mentioned her health within the first 90 seconds.
Okay.
That is, of course, if she's there.
I like this great keyboard, though. I have one of these in my house.
You play her piano?
Yeah. Hello.
There she is. Hey, Olivet.
Yes?
Hi, Olivet. This is Don and Mike.
Hi, Olivet.
Oh, I think I recognized your voice.
Yes. How are you, Olivet?
Oh, I've been ill.
Oh.
Like always.
Good.
I got a million things wrong with me.
Technically, do I win there?
Oh, yes, you do. Are you hanging in there?
Yeah.
11 seconds.
I guess until I die.
Oh, Olivet, don't talk like that, please.
Olivet, let's talk about how's your television doing that we got you and the satellite.
Fine, but I don't get anything on cable.
Right. You mean you haven't gotten anything on the satellite system?
Nah.
No,
you got to pay for that.
Well, now, I thought that... Isn't this the conversation we always have with all the...
And we paid for a year.
I thought we got you free programming for a year.
Well, I didn't have it because I didn't get it.
Now, Olivet, are you sure you got the TV turned on the right way?
Oh, sure. I tried I don't know how many times, and I never have got a full program on satellite.
Are you getting your TV over the air on your new set?
Oh, yeah. I get the local fine.
Does that work well? Is the TV working well for you? Is it nice?
Oh, yeah. I love it.
And that's good. And you've still got the satellite dish hooked up, right?
Yeah, it's still hooked up.
It's still hooked up.
I never had it turned off. Why would I turn it off?
Rob, didn't you walk Olivet through this the last time we spoke to Olivet about...
Yeah, they showed me how to operate it, and a couple of times I'd get a picture and all I got was junk, and I turned it off.
Okay, so you're getting junk on there. That's the real reason you don't want to put it on the satellite.
When you say you're getting junk, are you talking about the programming or...
No, I just get maybe on for a little bit and I turn it off because I don't want to look at it. It's old... Wild West movies and stuff. Who cares about those?
Well, you know, there's all sorts of stuff on that satellite dish.
Yeah,
you know,
I know there is. I've never been able to get any of it.
At least it's there. If you ever decide that you want to explore the world of 500-plus satellite channels, they're there for you.
Maybe if your grandkids or great-grandkids came over, they could enjoy the satellite TV.
Has your son been over recently to see you?
No.
Not even from... Did you get anything?
Frank's been sick. He's got heart trouble.
Did you get anything for Mother's Day?
No.
Oh God. I hate hearing this. How was your Mother's Day? What did you do on Mother's Day, Olivet?
My daughter came over, and they took me out to that new gambling house out on...
Well, you had a great Mother's Day, it sounds like.
But you can't win any money out there. It's not like a Las Vegas.
Why can't you win money there, Olivet?
Well, I didn't win any. I lost $15, and I decided it was time to quit.
What's your game? Do you play craps, blackjack? What do you play?
No, I just play those slot machines.
The slot machines.
Slot machines.
Yeah, well,
Frank and I, years ago, went to Las Vegas. I've been all through Nevada, and we had more fun. But you play with coins out there, and it's different.
What did you play with? What did you use
those slot machines? You have to buy coins.
Oh, your tokens?
Yeah.
Tokens.
Little tokens.
Yeah, there's no fun in that.
You didn't have a good time?
No, not really. Yeah. I've been sick, and I just don't really enjoy much.
I got the trifecta going.
But was it good to see your daughter?
Oh, yeah. I always like to see my daughter. She lives down in Osawatomie. Yeah. She's had 8 children. Can you believe it?
8 children? Wow. You've got 8. How many grandchildren?
She tried to cross her legs.
Yeah, I lost track a long time. My daughter had 8, and my son had 4. Frank had 4. And
pretty fertile. How many kids do you have, Olivet?
I had 4 children. And,
4 children.
And the oldest boy got run over by an ice truck. Mm. Got killed when he was 6 years old.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
God.
Oh, goodness.
That's
and I was
good.
Expecting my youngest son, the one who lives in Colorado. My son got killed in June, and Bill was born in September.
Oh, all of that.
Oh, so I mean, when he was 6, this is years ago this happened.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, years ago. So your other son that was born, do you see him very often?
Who, Frank?
Yeah. Oh, no, we just heard Frank's not feeling good.
The other one, you have 4. Right?
No, I've only got two grown sons.
Two grown sons.
You have 2
Frank
daughters?
And Bill.
And then you have
Frank and Bill.
Colorado.
Bill's the one that... Bill lives in Colorado?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He lives in Aurora.
Right.
Well, they changed the name of that county up there.
Yeah, they always do that, don't they?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like even with all of this upheaval that you're maintaining your positive spirit.
Oh, well, what's the use of worrying about things you can't do anything about?
A round of applause for Olivet.
Good woman.
Way to go, Olivet.
You know, everything happens according to God's plan. And,
right.
And I just don't worry about stuff like that. I worry about money monies.
You worry about money monies? Why do you worry about money monies?
Well, it takes a lot of money to live anymore.
Yes, that's not like the old days.
And
what year were you born, Olivet?
In 1910.
1910.
What's the greatest event you've seen during your life?
Well, I saw one of the biggest floods in when I was still working, and I worked in 9th and Broadway, and all our water and everything went off, and it flooded the whole bottom land down here in Kansas City.
Who is
looked like a flood?
Who was your favorite president since you've been alive?
I always liked Roosevelt.
Roosevelt. You know, we right here where we live, right here in Washington, D.C., they just built a big new memorial to Roosevelt.
I want to tell you, he was one of the finest presidents we ever had. We wouldn't have Social Security and all the good things we've got today if it wasn't for him.
Who was your favorite Beatle, Olivet?
I don't know anything about the Beatles.
you didn't follow the Beatles, huh?
No, I was getting too old for that.
What was your favorite kind? What's your favorite kind of music? Who's your favorite musical artist growing up when you were younger?
Do you like the Smashing Pumpkins?
Yeah. I always like Bing Crosby.
Bing.
The crooners.
There you go. Get my new song out. I want to play Olivet this new song I'm in love with.
We want your opinion on this song. Don, this is Don's favorite new song.
My mother was a fine church organist. She used to play one of those organs with all the big pipes.
Oh, a big pipe organ.
She played it at the cathedral in Leavenworth. That church up there burned down, and the organ burnt too, I guess. It was a gorgeous organ. It had those big pipes that were about 15 feet high.
Magnificent, I hear.
It's spectacular.
You know, my mother never would teach us kids any music. Huh. I never could figure that one out.
Well, tell me what you think of this, Olivet. I love this song. My baby daddy. Now they sing for a second, but they'll start rapping here in a second, all of it.
Like color jazz.
Yes.
Yeah, they're colored guys.
I figured it was. You know, I know a lot about me. I took music lessons for 4 years for that.
Hey, way to go, she identified the genre of music.
Tell them, guys.
Yeah.
Do you like it?
It's all right.
It's all
right. Kind of music.
She's giving you the thumbs
up. I like that kind of music. You know, color has no place on our radio show, Oliver. Everyone is treated exactly the same on our show.
Absolutely.
Oh, I know that.
Mm-hmm.
Be they white.
It's the law anyway.
It's the law.
Anyway.
That's right.
It's the law anyway.
That's right. Anyway.
Anything public like that has lots of
sure
things going for it.
So you like that song, Who Dat Is My Baby Daddy?
I never have heard it before.
All right. I have another question for you, Olivette.
Do I make you horny?
No.
There you go.
All right,
well,
Olivette.
I'm glad somebody took you out. At least, I mean, it's not the gambling you used to like, but at least somebody took you out on Mother's Day, right?
Yeah, my daughter and her husband.
Good
they
for
took
her.
Me out there, they had about 5 different kinds of restaurants in that place.
Did you have a good meal?
What'd you have to eat?
I couldn't name you. I went back twice and changed the plate.
Oh, really?
I didn't really care much.
Change your dental plate?
No, they were dinner plates. You took them and half filled them. I don't know whether my son-in-law paid for it. I don't know.
Little all-you-can-eat deal?
Yeah, I think so.
Little buffet, little smorgasbord?
Yeah, they had 5 different restaurants there, and you could get your food from any restaurant. You waited on yourself. You went up. It was cafeteria style.
Cafeteria style.
Well, I'm glad to see you had a good Mother's Day. And it's nice to know that the programming is there on your satellite. If you ever want,
you guys are sure good to me.
Well, we sure do like you, Olivette. And if you ever need any help with that satellite, you can call our guy Robbie, RJ. He'd like to help you out on that.
And you know, you always have us here in Washington. We're your buddies.
I watch Channel 5 at night, and they usually have nearly all the programs that I really like.
The programs.
Well, what are the programs you like, Olivette?
Well, I like family-style shows.
Right.
Indian stories and stuff like that.
Indian stories.
You like Mama's Family?
We don't have that here.
Oh, you don't have that? That's a fantastic show with Carol Burnett's, what's her name? Vicki Lawrence.
Vicki right. Lawrence. Do you look at the news, Olivette?
Oh, yeah, I get the Star. I get 2 papers a day.
There you go.
I was out in the breakfast room cleaning up. I get so much trash mail. It's,
yes.
Yeah.
It drives me crazy, and I was sitting out there tearing up envelopes when you called. You have to get rid of that stuff because it overwhelms you. You know what I mean? You have so much stuff, you don't know what to do with it.
Right. Okay, well,
I've been trying to win $20 million, but I don't think I'll ever make it.
Well, you keep trying, Olivette.
Stay with it, Olivette.
I don't think anybody ever gives that kind of money away. I think it's just a...
Yeah, you're
kidding.
Probably right.
You're right. It's just rigged.
It's all a big scam.
Nothing's free in this world.
No, absolutely not.
No
don't
way.
Let the screen door hit you on the way out.
That's the way everybody thinks.
My way or the highway.
Right.
Well,
America.
Don't hurt to try. You might hit it.
Love it or leave it.
That's right. Keep trying. That's your motto, Olivette.
Draft beer, not students.
Beer
I used
food.
To drink a lot of beer, but I had to quit that. I got diabetes.
Yeah.
Oh, well. All right, Olivette.
You can't drink everything you want to drink.
Yeah. No.
Do you know that I got a part of a bottle of whiskey I know I've had for 15 years sitting down in the cupboard?
Really?
Somebody hasn't drank it. I don't know.
You ever have a desire to maybe pop out a shot glass and take a belt?
Yeah. Sometimes I think I ought to.
All right, Olivette. Well, best of luck to you, and we'll check back again. Yes?
What was that, Olivette?
I hardly ever go anywhere anymore because, you know, I had a serious operation.
Yes, we're aware of that.
And I never have got over it completely. I don't know.
Well, you know, the good thing about not going out of the house is we'll call you every now and then to see how you're doing.
And, listen,
well, I go out of the house. I'd still drive.
Good for you.
Oh, good.
Went and had my...
Do you leave your turn signal on all the time?
Huh?
Nothing annoys me more than somebody who drives and leaves their turn signal on all the time.
You don't do that, do you, Olivette?
No.
No, you don't. You're a good driver, right?
I had a professional teach me to drive. I hired a man he taught these guys to drive these big transport trucks, and he was really good.
Yeah?
And he taught me to drive.
So you're an excellent driver.
Oh, I wouldn't say that. I used to drive about 30 blocks every day, twice.
Wow.
I
hey, Mario Andretti.
From here. Here down on 9th and Broadway, where I worked, and I used to park my car, and then I had to walk a block.
Yes, you did.
Makes our schedule seem a little insignificant.
Yes, yes it does.
And,
Olivet?
I worked 5 days a week.
Olivet?
5 years.
Darling, we have to go now. We look forward to talking to you again.
We will call you again and hopefully...
You know, there's not very many people like you in the world.
No, it's true. You're right about that.
No, there isn't.
But listen...
You still remember people.
Yeah, well, Olivet, we try to. We sure are fond of you.
And you know we'll be calling you again, and God bless you.
I wasn't on the radio, was I?
Yes.
Yes, the whole time.
Yes, always. Whenever we call you, you're on the radio. And you have lots of fans.
I better keep my big mouth shut.
No, don't worry about it, Olivet. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Olivet.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. There she goes.
Hey, I guess they're right. Senior citizens, although slow and dangerous behind the wheel, can still serve a purpose.
I'll be right back. Don't you go dying on me.
Well, if we didn't have a schedule, you folks should be glad we have a schedule today. Or I guarantee that could have been 20 more minutes.
You know what was good about that? That was the Olivet that we were charmed with the first time around. And then we've had calls where all we've tried to do is get her to work the TV. Today we just gave up on that and had our normal conversation with Olivet.
All right, Olivet Spellman, everyone's mom. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Okay, folks, if you've looked high and low for a cruise ship cuisine on dry land and you like dining in the round, you'll want to come down to Hank's Look Around Cafe. That's Hank's Look Around Cafe, 336 Melrose, where you and your food go on an adventure.
I was thinking about investing in that. I mean,
really?
The idea of rotating around and looking at the city. Of course, if you're a smoker, you'd have to smoke and then stop and then light up again when you came in your section. But listen, I think it's a great idea. Great idea.
You're gonna hit me. You're gonna do something.
No, it's a great idea.
Yeah, okay, like Smokey and the Bandit. That was it. That was a great idea. And Cannonball Run. That was a great idea. Ooh, brother.
The Don and Mike Show.
Now in their 20th season, it's the Don and Mike Show.
I wanted to get this story out today. Chunks of greasy crud have washed up along Lake Monona in Wisconsin. And the State Department of Natural Resources has no idea how it got there.
Jerry Lewis has gone swimming.
The substance, I would just like to point out that my ex-wife lives in Wisconsin.
Ah, yes.
I don't know if she goes bathing in Lake Monona or not.
But she has some experience with water treatment.
She works at a waste treatment plant.
That's right.
Plant. The substance, which is in this lake... is not poisonous, and it ranges in size from pebbles to softball-sized globs.
Oh.
It has the consistency of hardened cooking grease, and smells like burned oil.
Yummy.
And there are chunks of this greasy crud all in the lake of Lake Monona in Wisconsin. Now, I bet the State Department of Natural Resources is probably closed now.
Mm-hmm.
However, we do have the number of a golf shop that's next to the lake.
Yeah, they probably have it all over their yard.
The Lake Monona Health Center and a hotel. Which would you like to call first?
Let's call a hotel.
Okay.
Because it might be affecting tourism. Hey, scrape it up, put it in a can, and call it hair tonic. Go ahead.
Big chunks of greasy crud.
Man, the description of it is just magnificent.
Sheridan, this is Jim. How can I help you?
Yes, hi, Jim. Is this Lake Monona, Wisconsin?
This is Madison, Wisconsin. But we're right on the crystal lakes of Monona and Monona.
Yes, hi. Listen, this is Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara. We're doing our national radio show now.
Sir.
And we were calling about the report we're hearing of chunks of greasy crud washing up on the... up on the banks of Lake Monona?
Balls of some kind of material or whatever washing up.
Have you heard about these big globs of greasy crud?
Yes, I have.
Have you witnessed any of these greasy balls of crud?
I have not.
What is that song? A great
globs of greasy, grimy gopher guts.
Yeah.
Yes, who doesn't love that song? Now, do you have these big globules anywhere near your Sheraton Hotel?
Well, we're actually, there are three main lakes in the greater Madison area, and we're on Lake Wingra. And as far as we know, Wingra is greasy glob ball free.
Okay.
And I have I haven't had anything greasy or grimy.
What?
Wash up around here.
What is the lake that's producing the spooge? What's the name of that lake?
That's Monona.
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 And he's by lake with something.
Metakwakama.
Do you know this golf shop, the Monona Golf Shop? You ever heard of that?
Hello?
Oh. Hello, there he is.
Mm-mm.
You never heard of that?
No.
How about a health club, the health center? You ever heard of that?
Oh, there's all kinds of health clubs.
Is there anybody, have you ever known anybody who's actually seen one of these softball-sized globs? With the consistency of hardened cooking grease that smells like burned oil.
Yeah, somebody that would be close enough to pick it up and maybe taste it.
Kind of some sort of analysis. No, I...
You think it's,
I just heard a little bit about it on the news.
Do you think it's any... You know what I bet it is? Have you ever seen what football players do?
Not just for football players, Don.
Because, you know, there are some big football players, and there's been a lot of pollen in the air. That could be... That's a very viable theory there.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't have tissue, it's, I guess if it's been done for years and years and years.
So, when did this first arise in the community of Madison, Wisconsin?
Well, it's sort of, we started to get dark reports about this sludge, I'd say it's 4 or 5 days ago.
Drinking?
A lot of boating, not so much... not so much fishing in Monona.
A lot of boating, lot of dumping.
Yeah, it's pretty much, cars, that sort of stuff.
Okay. Well, thank you for your time.
Well,
just,
thank you.
You can understand any time that we see the words greasy crud and...
human nature is just...
And softball-sized globs, we have to call to find out more about the story.
Investigation, curiosity, of course, yeah.
Well, good luck on the shores of Matamanawana.
Oh, where's my Green Bay Packer tape?
Oh, yes, when we call Wisconsin, we've got a lovely piece of tape that we think you'll enjoy.
Okay. All right,
and here you go.
Go, snot, go.
Go, globs, go. All right, thank
we'll
you,
get
sir.
That cleaned up for you.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Mommy, it's in my suit. It's in my suit. Make it go away.
Softball-sized globs with the consistency. I got to call one more place.
Yeah, see, there's something about that description.
That guy was very personable and seemed to be a nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
Let's try the golf shop.
Yeah.
Tar-sucking emphysema lung.
It's lung discharge. It's from the citizens. Heavy smokers all around the Madison area.
But it's not poisonous, Mike. Now, how do they find out it's not poisonous? Who had to eat that stuff?
The taster. The town taster. Here, have a big bowl of it.
Minora Golf Shop.
And here's our taster. Tom Gavin.
What's up, guys?
Yes, hello. Is this the Monona Golf Shop?
Yeah.
Hello, this is Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara, and we're doing our national radio show right now. We were calling to get a reaction about the chunks of greasy crud, the pebble to softball-sized glob with the consistency of hardened cooking grease that smells like burned oil that apparently is all over the shores of Lake Monona.
Not everybody.
There you go.
Not everybody. Obviously, it's killing their business.
Go, Pat, go!
All right. Hello, Buzz.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
You know, those eyes do still look a little puffy.
You think so?
Are they puffy?
I don't know. You be the judge.
Don, they look better today.
They look a little better, but they still look a little...
Saw my doctor today. He said I'm almost completely healed.
Now, which doctor did you see? Did you see your doctor, or did you see the doctor that Mike and I brought into your life? The doctor who cured you, incidentally.
I had a follow-up appointment with my own doctor, so
you
went back
to the ophthalmologist?
Him. Yes, I did.
Mm-hmm. Mistake.
All right.
Just my humble opinion. I'm standing about 8 feet away from you. You look about 97% to me. Because that's what you said yesterday, that you felt about... 97%.
I feel 99.5% today.
Wow. Oh. Never quite perfect. You're a very hard man to please.
That's true.
Very hard man to please. Well, I do have a tale about my eyes today.
Really?
On the show.
Wow. What, that they're just so darn pretty?
You remember? Yesterday, at the very end of the show, Oh, damn, I was tired yesterday, and I was rubbing my eyes.
You were, and you did a great job up until about the last 15 minutes when I became, you know, after years and years of the experience of working with you, I was able to determine that that it had been officially too much day.
Yeah, the show, you're right. The show went about 15 minutes too long yesterday.
Yeah.
After all of our bitching at Ken about cutting the show off at 7, yesterday would have been a good day to end at 7 o'clock.
Well, we had a statement to make. We couldn't do that.
Right.
But until about 7:40 last night,
right.
Wow, shaky for me. So at one point I was rubbing my eyes during the commercials. You shouldn't rub your eyes because I have contact lenses in.
Yeah.
And I mentioned that I thought that one of the contacts had fallen out on my blouse.
Right. Your lovely
very
blouse.
Pretty blouse it
and,
was.
And I couldn't find the contact on my shirt. And then I realized that it actually rolled up underneath my eyelid.
For right. Which, for anybody that doesn't wear contacts, and I don't wear contacts, that just seems about the most horrific thing in the world, that there would be like a foreign thing in your eyeball.
So I got it out, popped it back in, continued with the show, went home. I'm sitting at home last night, I take the contacts out, I put my glasses on, and still, darn it, my eye just doesn't feel quite right, my left eye. So I started opening my eye up real big and feeling around in there. And I felt all the way up here by my eyebrow a little something, and I pushed it out, and I swear to God, it was an old contact lens.
Oh,
and
no.
I don't know how long that contact lens had been up. Now, I don't know. Technically, that's not behind my eye. Technically,
it was tucked into the socket.
Yeah, on top of my eye.
Ah. And so that wasn't the one that you found yesterday.
No, that was an old one.
It could have been from the 70s.
And now I'm thinking about it. I can't tell you how many times at night when I take out my contacts, because I have the disposable kind.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You wear them for one day, and you take them out, and you just flick them into the toilet or down the garbage or whatever.
Right.
A lot of times, I take one of them out, and then I go to take the other one out, and I realize that it's not there. And I've always thought, well, you know what? It must have just fallen out or something.
Right.
I have no idea now
how many in there.
How many contacts may still be in the area between my eyeball and my eyelid.
Do you feel like there may be some in there now?
Yes.
Now, I'm sure.
And I know I'm paranoid, but I do think so.
Well, I'm sure if you went to a doctor or an ophthalmologist like Buzz.
There's the problem. I'm not going to a doctor.
you could probably go in there and fish them out. Oh, God, that sounds uncomfortable, though. I would think you'd know immediately, though.
Well, it feels really on my right eye.
It creeps me out. I don't know what, I can't imagine what I must feel
like. Feels like I might have one up there. Now, I use the disposable kind, the AccuVue. AccuVue.
Do they actually melt at a certain point, or will
they? No, the one that I pulled out yesterday, not the one that I pulled out during the show, but the one that I pulled out last night, when it came out, it wasn't hard and crusty.
Right.
It was still kind of soft and pliable.
Like you could still probably use it.
Yeah.
Even though it was disposable.
Yeah. Well, a lot of times, you know, that's a scam. I mean, maybe you don't know because you don't wear the disposable contacts, but when they tell you to wear a contact lens once and throw it away, actually, they're the exact same contact lenses that they sell to you when they say you can wear these for a month if you just take them out of your eyes at night and soak them in saline.
That's how they get you.
Yeah, that's how they get you to buy like a gazillion contacts because you wear them once and throw them away when in actuality, they're the exact same contacts that they tell you to just take out of your eyes at night and put into saline solution.
You know, the whole concept of contact lenses, I've never understood. You take a lens and you put it right on your eyeball, which is this smooth surface. How do they stay right over the part that you're supposed to? Is it a suction thing?
A lot of times, first of all, when I had hard contact lenses, it was impossible for me to wear them.
Right.
Because it felt like I was putting a nail in my eye.
Right.
But with the soft lenses, what you do is you open up your eye real big and you just kind of swoosh your finger around on your eyelid until the contact sticks. Now, a lot of times I've got a problem.
God, I hate that.
A lot of times I have a problem when I'm putting the contacts in. When I open my eyes up real big like this, see this? And I get it stuck on my eyeball, and then I take my finger away, the goddamn contact is still stuck on my finger.
Right.
A lot of times it takes a lot of work to get it from the finger to the eye.
Doesn't it fit just over the colored part of your eye, right? So that's where it rests when it's in the right place?
I have no idea. I mean, I'm not that.
Do you have the?
It's very foreign to me as well. I couldn't imagine it.
I wouldn't eat buffalo wings or anything like that before you do.
Oh, no.
Well.
Right, yeah.
Have you ever had something like that where you ate, say, like something Cajun with cayenne pepper?
No, but as a matter of fact, you know, the one vice that I have food-wise still left is Chex Mix.
Right? Okay.
I love Chex Mix.
And a lot of times, spicy Chex Mix,
yeah,
too.
Right? A lot of times if I have Chex Mix before I go to bed at night, what I'll do is I'll eat it. And at that point, I've got the contact lenses out, wearing my glasses.
Mm-hmm.
I'll eat some Chex Mix, I'll go to bed, I'll get up in the morning, and I won't wash my hands. And I know that that's a big no-no right there. You're supposed to wash your hands before you do this at any time.
Right.
But I will just get the contacts out, because I hate wearing my glasses. hop in, I get in my eye, mm-hmm. and then you're right, I get the
salt.
And I can actually see a little orange residue on the outside of the contact lenses.
Oh, God.
So listen, the question is, anybody else out there think that they might have a contact lens
in their head,
stuck up in their head?
In their head. That's really where it is. It's inside your head.
Right.
That's where the contact is living, somewhere between your eyeball and your brain.
You know, I'm just lucky that it didn't work its way all the way back there and end up like coming out my nose or
maybe pressing on a part of your brain. So, you know, one day you're sitting there and, you know, you're saying, you know,
well, they're very pliable.
Yes. Yeah.
Although when you get them out of your eye, if you leave a contact lens just sitting and it doesn't have the solution
right.
or the natural lubrication of your eyes, mm-hmm. in about 2 seconds, man, that thing turns to a piece of hard, hard plastic.
Then you know it's in there.
Right. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
God.
So anyway, I found one, and I'm pretty sure that there's at least one more above my right eye.
Wow. Really?
And it was only for fear of going blind that I didn't continue like to put three fingers up in my eye today to try to find it, because I'm positive I got another one in there.
Two things I don't like to touch on my body. One is the you know, when you're supposed to give yourself that little exam in the shower.
Oh, I love to touch
it. Oh, I stand doing it.
Love to. I'm doing it right now.
I can't stand to do
it. I can't keep my hands off that part of my body.
You may want to wash your hands before you touch your contact now.
And touching the eye after that, you know, or touching the
my
eye.
My fingers have been worse places.
Oh,
and then
God.
Touch my eye afterwards.
The bad places I touch all the time.
Oh, of course.
You got to clean up somehow when you're in the shower. Put
okay.
those fingers up.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello, plenty more to talk about besides this. Hello.
Hello, can I speak to Don and Mike?
Yes, you're on the air. Hello.
Don, about the contacts?
Right.
You should make sure you always get them out of sight. I left one in before for 2 days, and I got a real bad eye fungus.
Eye fungus?
And, mm-hmm. Yes, an eye fungus, and I had to go to the doctor, and he had to put antibiotics in my eye every day for like a week.
Eye fungus, that's about the grossest thing I've ever heard.
You know, I'm lucky I don't have it, because I do touch my feet at night, like when I clip my toenails and stuff, and I do
right.
have that killer toenail fungus.
And then go right to the eye.
Right to the eye.
So that, you know, one day you'll come in looking like that guy from Smokey and the Bandit. Cannonball Run, how are you?
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
I'm calling because I have worn contacts for about 16 years, and I have had that experience more than once of losing a contact up in my head.
Right.
And the way you get it out is don't try to stick your finger up your eyeball, because you're right, you're going to kill yourself like that. Mm. But just keep pulling your eyelid up and pulling. See, I just did it. My contact came out. And
pull the eyelid out.
Pull your eyelid up.
Right up.
And then pull the side of your eye out. And just keep doing
that. What do you
that.
Want to use? You want to use, like, some shears for that, or what?
No.
Spoons so you get every drop.
Just with your finger, and then that way, eventually, it will come back down.
I'm in
finger. Okay, thank you. Thank
you know,
you
not to, at the risk of alerting, like, the salespeople who will go into a salivating frenzy, because I know right. you've been approached about this. Are you a candidate for that laser stuff?
No, but Frida is, and she's going to have it done on the show.
Okay, good.
My wife's going to have that laser eye surgery very
but
soon
you,
on the
you
show.
You couldn't be helped with that?
No, I don't want to be helped.
Have you even had a checkup for that?
No.
you don't want them to do that?
No.
And even though it might eliminate the need for glasses or contacts?
No, I don't trust them putting a laser in my eye.
I wouldn't either.
I really don't. Hello, Don and Mike show.
You know, they do that in a mall here, just down the street.
I'm aware of that.
They got like a storefront where you can stand around and watch people get their eyes zapped.
What a
lasers.
PR machine that doctor has.
Sure.
Hello.
That's national news, I heard that.
Yeah, right. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don, I have an idea also for with the last woman that called.
Yeah.
What I usually do is pull the eyelid away from your eye very gently, like you're pinching it, and then put it farther up on your eyeball, and then pull it down. And if there's something trapped up there, a lot of times it'll bring it down. And
I do that a lot, like for, you know, if there's something in my eye, like, you know, a hair.
I appreciate
that's
that.
That's a track for me.
I think I've tried most of those maneuvers already. I've done just about everything except perhaps get my eyeball out of the socket and have it roll around. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, Don.
What are you doing, Mike? Hold on a second. What are you doing?
I just do this to make my eyes feel better. I actually take, I grab the lashes.
And that's a handsome look.
And then I pull the lids down over, way, well over the bottom lid. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of move my eyeball around.
Did you get your picture taken like
and,
that?
And it really, it just, it refreshes. Oh, oh Rob.
Rob, what did you just do? That is gross. What did you
Rob
do?
Rob just folded his little
turn your eyelids inside out. Do it again, Jolly Joe.
All right.
Let me see it again.
Here we go.
Oh, Christ.
Well, it's really funny if you can do it and then put on glasses.
Oh, God.
Oh, what are you doing?
Rob just actually folded his eyelids.
Tribute to my late Uncle Francis Chavez.
Oh,
I'll
tell you what. That is gross, Rob.
Rob did a little visual trick. You know, he's not the kind of guy I figured would be able to pull that one off.
Hello?
Hello, Don?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I had a question. Have you ever gotten the contact actually stuck on your eyeball? Because that happens to me all the time.
Yeah, and when you go to rip it off, it really feels like it's taped to your eye. A lot of times that happens to me after a long day if my eyes have gotten dry.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
The contact just won't come off my eyeball. And when you're peeling it off, it really feels like you are going to peel off the outer layer of your eye.
Oh, sometimes I'm standing there.
Oh,
okay.
Oh, right. Isn't this too bad? Mike's getting grossed out by this. Oh, that's too bad.
Oh, God.
It's disgusting.
It's totally disgusting.
I stand there for 20 minutes trying to slide it off, and it doesn't move.
The eye is like this little gelatinous thing. Mm-hmm. Don't touch it.
All right, one more call. Here's a guy who says he got his contact stuck in his head for 4 days one time.
Wow.
Hey, well, Ron, I'm sure that the contact that's above my right eye has been there for weeks.
Really?
Really, weeks.
You think it's been in there that long?
I swear to God I do.
I know mine was in. What happened was the contact actually tore. I was walking around, felt like I got something in my eye, pulled out the contact, and I only felt like half of it.
Mm.
And half of it was like literally up in my head for like freaking 4 days.
Did it ever make it to your brain?
No, it didn't. What finally happened, I ended up going to two doctors. One guy kept, like, holding me down while his assistant put this flush crap in my eye. That didn't work. I went to another, and literally they had to give me some kind of medication to, like, numb it up.
Mm-hmm.
They, like, peeled my eye lid back.
Oh.
And had to get it out with tweezers.
Oh, with tweezers. Oh, that's awful.
It was dug in there, man.
Thank you.
It was dug in there, buddy. I'm telling you, dug
in there, buddy.
Well, as you can hear, it's not a problem that just I have.
No,
right?
Not at all.
It's a problem lots of people have.
Mm-hmm. A lot of eyes. A lot of itchy eyes out there.
And, I guess when I try to theorize this, by not going to a doctor, you know how when you don't go to a doctor and you just imagine to yourself how it's going to get better?
Right.
Lots of times I think, if there is a contact in there,
it'll spew out.
And it gets pushed all the way back, maybe some of my brain acid will eat it up.
The acid that you have in your brain.
Really?
You do not have any brain acid. You have stomach acid.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. I bet that there's something in your brain. There's
not anything in your brain that eats anything. No.
But wouldn't there be some kind of like bubbling crude up around your brain? Your brain has
brain fluid. Your brain floats in a sea of fluid.
Right. Okay. That lubrication.
Right.
That's probably like acidy.
No, I don't think so, because if it was acidic, you would actually have, it would eat into the brain itself.
Yeah, the brain is real tender. It would eat the brain.
It's maybe fluid. It's like marinade, then.
It's like water.
It would make the contact delicious and tender.
You know what it is? It's like saline solution.
No, not mine. I'm positive that my brain juice is very toxic.
Do you know how most brain injuries occur? The brain hits the inside of the skull.
Mm-hmm.
You see, your brain actually will, the fluid will be jarred, and the brain will hit the inside of the skull, and that's how the brain swells.
That's why I'm so smart, because I have so much brain juice up there.
You have lots of brain juice.
That the brain juice keeps my brain constantly floating, like a beach ball in a pool or something. My brain will never hit the side of my head. Walls.
Run into a cement wall as hard as you can.
No, even then, it's like having a brain airbag.
So you've got a little extra fluid up there?
Oh, my brain juice. I'm positive.
You've got a little extra water on the brain?
I know a lot of people think I'm a quart low. But yeah, I'm positive. I have water on the brain. I have major water on the brain. And it's not water you'd want to drink either.
Right.
And I'm sure it's very, very acidy.
A little Anacostia River water up there.
Very citrusy.
Citrusy?
Yeah,
I think that's
so.
Nice.
Fresh. Much like the stuff that Buzz was putting on his face to get rid of those wrinkles every night.
Not anymore.
He's the Don and Mike Show.
Yep. Okay, I get it. You're joking. Well, I've got a sense of humor. I laugh at Tony Danza. Of course, if you aren't joking, I feel bad and I apologize.
I laugh at Tony Danza.
I laugh at Tony Danza. I laugh at Tony Danza.
All right, that's it.
The Don and Mike Show.
Is it the Don and Mike Show? You bet.
Hello.
Don and Mike.
Yeah, buddy.
Hey, I tell you, your contact will never go all the way behind your eyeball. You've got all your optic nerves and the muscles that control the movement of your eye won't let it.
Right.
Really? Okay.
And the
mine might.
Yeah, the stuff in your brain is called cerebrospinal fluid. It's a lot like water.
Yeah, except mine's a lot more potent.
Is it?
Yeah, I'm positive.
More but like is your semen. Brain more potent?
No, just the water is. The water in my brain.
It's thicker. It's right, where somebody's might be like saline solution, yours is a little bit more like maple syrup.
Yes, thank right. you, Mike. Absolutely.
Of course.
Yes. That's right.
Well, that one time you showed me.
My brain is swimming in maple syrup right now. Hello. Hello there, Don and Mike show. Hello?
Hey, Don
yeah.
Mike.
Yeah, buddy.
Hey, buddy, I just want to tell you, it's not about the contact, but a friend of mine's girlfriend, her roommate met some guy at a club one night, took her home, and he got, like, condom lost.
Well, we've heard stories like that before on the show.
She found it, like, a week later.
Okay, all right.
Okay. Surprise, surprise.
Okay.
Oh, man.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
You.
Is that the same guy as yesterday, you think? Or
I believe
guy?
So. It sounded like the same vocal quality.
And hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Hello there.
Hello.
Hi. Okay.
Hello.
Okay. Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, I am an ophthalmologist, and would just like to give you some information about a new contact.
Since you're a doctor, can I ask you a question?
Absolutely.
How come you said hello three times?
Well, I'm on a cell phone and driving on a freeway. I couldn't hear you answer the first time.
All right, okay. Well, don't try to sell me anything, please.
No, I'm not, but there is a new contact on the market, and I know this was going to gross Don out, but this is the kind of thing that is made out of a membrane, and it is actually biodegradable. So if it is lost in the eye, it in a matter of about 48 to 72 hours, it is just biodegradable, and it just dissolves into your system.
Listen, Doc, is this a big problem with people getting their contacts lost in their head?
It is. Frankly, it is. I have had lots of patients that come into my office that literally have had three or four contacts up under their eyelid.
Wow. Wow.
So see, you might have three or four up there.
I could.
But the new biodegradable ones are absolutely the way to go, because after 72 hours, they just dissolve in
right.
your own...
What's the process of getting those three or four out of the eye socket if they're in there?
Well, that is a process that you do need to go see your optometrist or your ophthalmologist to have them actually do it, because you can't really tell yourself. There's a lot of room between the eyeball and the actual nerve endings that come up into the back of the eye socket, and you literally could have them up there and not feel them. The only
I feel them. I swear to God, I feel it up there.
Well, I would make an appointment and go have an eye wash done, or have an ophthalmologist look up in underneath your eyelid and recover that lost product.
All right, thank you, sir.
Uh-huh.
Bye bye. Uh-huh. I hate being cynical. I hate being. He was either an ophthalmologist or just an incredible. Like imposter. He just never used any real medical jargon. He said eye socket, the eye nerves, and eye wash. He never said you need.
Well, that's all you need to know, though, to be an eye doctor, right?
Right. Well, you got to know. To be a doctor, you have to know all the other stuff too, right?
To be an eye doctor, I don't think you have to know the other stuff. I think to be an eye doctor, you just have to know about the eye.
To be an ophthalmologist, you have to be a medical doctor. To be an optometrist, you do not.
Right. Really, what's that like? The danger, difference between a psychiatrist
and a psychologist. Absolutely. It's very similar. The difference between a psychologist and a psychiatrist is a psychologist.
There's no difference, Mike.
A psychologist.
They're the same.
No, the psychologist.
They're shrinks.
The psychologist mm-hmm. cannot prescribe medication.
They both have the easiest job in the world. They sit on their ass, mm-hmm. and people come in and tell them their problems, and they draw little doodles for 45 minutes, and they say, that's it. That's $300. I'll see you next week.
But the psychiatrist can give you, Valium and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. When am I gonna meet those psychiatrists? Huh? I'm so sick of people saying.
You're probably going to psychologists because you don't care about the difference.
Maybe you're right.
you need to go with the one that's like, the difference between a psychologist will sit there and talk to you for an hour, whereas a psychiatrist will sit there and talk to you for 15 minutes and then say, here, take these.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Right.
Yeah, when you start to bore them, they just say, here, take these pills.
Absolutely.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, is it Don and Mike?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I have a story about my wife and her contacts. About 2 weeks ago, I woke up in the morning, I looked over, and there was just this nasty, hardened crust
seeping out her eye. She went to the doctor. She couldn't get it open. The doctor had to open it for her, and that's what it was. It was one that was stuck up on top of her eye.
Mm-hmm. All right, happens a lot. Thank you, my
nasty.
Friend.
Nasty.
All right, thank you. Okay, one more call on this topic. That's it. Let's talk to Eric in Detroit. Hello, Eric.
Buddy.
Hey, buddy.
What's up?
Buddy.
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 I got a story about the buddy thing, but I'll do that another time. I had a metal sliver that got hung up in my upper eyelid.
A metal sliver from what?
Fabricating steel.
Oh, now that would hurt. Oh, that would hurt.
I had that once, too.
It was really small.
You had a metal sliver in your eye?
Yeah, from sharpening a knife at Thanksgiving. A sliver of the knife metal went into my eye.
Really? When did that happen to you, Dave?
A couple of years ago.
Really? While you were working here?
Yeah.
You never told us about that.
It got better after a couple of days, and I thought it must have washed out. But then later, when I went to an eye doctor, he found it was still in there.
Oh, God, that's
good. I did the same thing, and mine was getting rusty.
Oh.
Oh.
Special drops in it. Well, and on top of that, it scratched my eye, so they had to polish my eye. It was really nasty.
Would they use sandpaper?
No, it was kind of funny. I mean, I really couldn't see it because it covered my good eye up, and it was so blurry out of the other eye because of these drops.
Doctor, polish my eye.
It reminded me of one of these like orbital buffers you wax your car with. That's what it felt like. It was really gross. So I wear the best goggles money can buy now, so I don't have to go through that again.
Thank you, Eric.
Take it easy, man. You guys roll here. All right.
Bye-bye. See you later. You know, one time, this is off topic, but... You see the scar right here? You see I got a little scar here? Can you see this?
Where is it?
Like,
on your shoulder?
Yeah.
On
here
your
on my shoulder,
yeah.
Okay, I was sitting on a fence when I was a kid, and my brother came by with a baseball bat,
right?
And started swinging the bat around,
right?
And he almost hit me, and I fell off the fence, and what happened is a portion of the fence actually went through my shoulder. Uh-huh. So they took me to the doctor, and they put some stitches in, and a couple years later one day, as I'm throwing a ball with my friends, I said, damn, my arm hurts. They took me back in. There was a piece of the wood that the doctor had not gotten out, and the piece of the wood had been inside this part of my shoulder for 2 years and had started to infect the inside. And the doctor said, you're lucky that you came in, because if you didn't come in, if it went a couple more years...
Gangrene?
Yeah, like we would be cutting your arm off.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Man. Wild.
Jesus.
Wild, man.
Hey, you want to see a scar? Take a look. This is the smallest scar you'll ever see, and it's hardly noticeable anymore, but you got to look at it. And it's right. I don't even remember which side it's on, but one of my eyes, one of the sides has like a little like triangular scar right next to the eye.
It must be teeny. I can't see it.
It's tiny because it was a tenth of an inch away from my eye when I was playing with Chad Ram's blocks when I was 5 years old. And since he was upset, he decided to hit me in the eye with a hammer. He hit me in the eye with a hammer, and the doctor said if it was one-tenth of an inch closer to my eye, I would have been coming and going, Harvey Hardy, how are
you? Too bad that didn't happen. Oh, I'd laugh, Mike.
I know, just like I laugh with your foot.
Yeah, right.
You have every right to do that.
Right.
Absolutely.
Robbie, you got any horror stories?
I got this scar.
Oh, that's just where you had that thing removed from your thumb a couple weeks ago.
And because I was bleeding so badly, my mom had to take me into the surgeon that was going to work on my eye. And that was the same day that we were getting into a blizzard. We had a blizzard in my hometown. And as my father was trying to get to the hospital, he got into a car accident.
Yeah.
It was a real, real happy day. And that kid that hit me with the hammer was always my father's favorite kid in the neighborhood.
Hey, Buzz.
Yes.
As long as we're on topic.
Uh-huh.
Show us your scar again.
Oh, man, you don't want to see it.
No, come on, I want to see your scar. I want to see your scar from your operation.
Oh, you still have your bodice on there.
Yeah.
All right, there
Let me
go.
Let me see. It doesn't look too bad.
It doesn't look nearly as bad as it used to look.
It's Buzz, I don't want to see your hair.
Does it go all the way down to your...
He pulled his pants down, so he started to see his curly cues.
Yeah. They really opened you up like a haddock.
Oh, yeah, they did.
It looks much better, though.
Good, I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, it doesn't seem that way to me,
nope. But, you know, I see it every day.
Yeah, it doesn't look as gross as it did. And you're not having a problem with that mesh that you have?
No.
Stand up again. Let me see it again.
All right.
Let me see it again. Let me see your scar.
No, it doesn't look nearly as bad as it did before.
It's actually multiple.
Hold on,
scars.
Stand up again. What's that little circle?
We're here?
Yeah.
That's what's left of my navel. That's my belly button.
That's your belly button?
Right.
Oh, my God.
And that's just a little dent on the left. What's that?
That's where the colostomy bag was.
Okay. Right. Oh, so that's God. Eventually that one on the left.
And this one over here was from some kind of drain tube.
Look at Buzz's belly button, though.
Yeah.
It's not an innie or an outie
now.
Was
it a pretty good innie before they did this?
Yeah, it was a good innie. Now it's a flatty. I'm lucky to have one.
Wow.
Lucky to be here.
Thanks for sharing that with us, Buzz.
Certainly. I didn't know you'd want to see it, but I'm happy.
No, that's cool.
Join us tomorrow for another edition of Show Us Your Scars.
You can show that to us every day.
Okay.
That's good. That's good viewing. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
when I was two, I was sitting on the floor by my dad, and he looked over, and I was just, like, shaking. I was chewing on an electrical cord, and it, and it burned my lip, and but they didn't know that it had left, like, a blister. And a couple days later, somebody was washing my face, and it just, like, started gushing blood all over the place because I severed the artery.
Oh, my God.
And she's gone!
I have an electricity story as well.
And what, Buzz?
As a toddler, our dads would give us keys, their car keys to play with, and they didn't know while they were
metal
playing...
Metal car keys?
Right. And while they were playing cards in another room, my cousin Linda and I were sitting on the floor at an electrical outlet taking turns... sticking the key in the slot for the electricity.
Oh, my God.
Only one time we missed on the timing, and we both plugged in at the same time. Our shoulders touched, and we completed the circuit.
And did you really, like, go 5 feet back or something like that?
No, we started...
Is that how your hair got so curly?
Like exactly. That's the day it happened. And we started shaking like the girl in the phone call there, and our dads had to come in and, you know, pull us out of the outlet, unplug us.
Wow. Thanks, Donna Mike.
Thank you.
I never used keys, but when I was two or three, I'm told I in a wall outlet.
Oh, no, did you really?
That's what I'm told.
Shutting off power to the entire house.
Like killing all of Las Vegas. No, it didn't do any... It shocked me, apparently, because I guess the was a good conductor.
Sure.
But, yeah, there you go. No scar.
God, that's great.
None that I want to show.
I had a whole bottle of vitamins one time.
Uh-huh. Did you really?
Yeah. Just throwing that out. Children? I'm kind of running out of stuff now.
Children's vitamins?
Or a bottle of children's vitamins.
When I was three, you can't see because I've got the beard, I used my father's straight razor. Those are the kinds that used to, remember they used to kind of used to dial?
Yeah.
And they used to dial, and then you'd open it up, and you'd put the razor blade down in there. So I was shaving, only I was going sideways, and I opened up from here all the way through here.
God.
And that was another trip to the emergency room that I took.
I burned down our kitchen once. I really did. I swear to God. I mean, I know we're like kind of playing like "Can't You Top This" now,
well, but
I did.
It's pretty good. That's if you go into different areas.
I did. I was two and a half. I had a Bozo the Clown doll that got wet, so I went and put Bozo in the oven and turned the oven on, and then went in the other room.
Right.
And the next thing I remember is the fire department coming to the house,
and the kitchen was on fire.
Yeah, I burned down one wall of our kitchen because the Bozo caught on fire in the oven.
Jesus.
I know that's not exactly like, you know, cutting yourself with a razor.
No, not at all.
I like it, though.
No, no, you know, no, it's a lot worse. You did top me. Oh, God.
And at one time, I almost drowned when I was a kid.
Really?
Right. Yeah, when I climbed over the fence into a neighbor's pool.
Oh, boy.
And thank God the neighbor was home. They caught me. And then after that, my mom and dad made me wear a life jacket whenever I went in the backyard.
Did you actually get into the water when you...
Yeah, no, I climbed over their fence and jumped into their pool.
Oh, God.
And almost drowned. And then for a while, my mom tied me to a rope, mm-hmm, like you do with a dog. When I would go in the backyard, they would actually tie me to a rope, mm-hmm, so I wouldn't run away. And then they put me in a life jacket.
Do you know the old spinning wheels that they used to have, the old antique spinning wheels, right, where you'd sit at them and they...
To, like, weave and stuff?
Yeah, to weave. You know, you used to see them when you go on field trips to, like, ye old places. Well, there was a lady, Mrs. Hale, had one of those in her house as an antique. And what the spinning wheel would do is it had a hammer.
Ooh.
As you would spin it, that would come in, and I put my thumb right underneath the hammer as it was going really fast and smashed my thumb.
My grandma had a...
Okay, all right. Buzz, you're very rarely competitive. I enjoy seeing this side of you.
She had a ringer washing machine, one of those old ringer washing machines.
Sure, the kind where you put the clothes through the... It's actually a dryer to wring out the clothes.
Exactly,
right?
And I was just screwing around, like feeding a pamphlet through there just for the hell of it, just for fun, you know, and it caught my hand and pulled my hand through. And it wasn't the kind of ringer washer where the ringers pop apart. They actually had to put it in reverse and back my hand out the other way before taking me to the hospital.
Buzz, I want to tell you something. I've worked with you for almost 20 years, and I've learned more about you in the last 10 minutes.
It's true.
Than you have told me in the previous 20 years, you son of a bitch.
Welcome to my childhood.
You private son of a bitch.
Oh, God.
Okay, one last call.
One last
call. You know, somebody out there is going to have something worse.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike, this is Kevin.
Yeah, hi.
Hey, when I was younger, I was cleaning my room, and I had a needle go into my foot, and broke into little pieces, and I told my mom, and she didn't believe me, and about eighth grade, I broke my foot and went to the hospital and had x-rays taken, and my mom didn't believe me then either. The doctor came out and said, asked me if I had surgery, and because the pins were still in there, and
So I went to a foot specialist, and they told me I didn't need to remove it. And, like, after high school, when I graduated, I had a piece come out. So I still had, like, two pieces left in.
How did the piece just come out?
I was picking at the outer skin, and all of a sudden, like, a piece started, like, coming out. So I took, like, tweezers and pulled it out.
Okay.
You know something? I was sledding one time and sledded past a wire. Took my head clean off. Doctors were able to sew it back on, and I was fine. And there's not even much of a scar.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Yeah, I'm out. I don't know if you're out. I'm out.
I think
now.
I am. I'm out.
Once I got to the Bozo the Clown store, frankly, I'm out. That's it. I gave you all my good stories.
Yeah, I think that's it for me also.
Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Hey, I was fishing one time, and I was a little kid, and the guy I was with casted and hooked me with a treble hook through the top eyelid and out the bottom.
All right, stop the contest. We may have a winner.
That's right. You know, that's amazing right there.
And what they had to do to get it out, they had to cut the hook and run the hook through my eyelid instead so they didn't have to pull the barb through and jam my eye up.
Okay, we have a winner. Thank you, sir.
All right, let's rule.
All right. Thank you, my friend. Thank you.
God.
All right. See what happens on this show. That's why this show is a mess.
That's right.
A simple discussion about a contact lens that's caught behind my eye.
Look what happens.
And suddenly look at this.
Start showing each other our scars and it's all over.
Okay, listen. A break. A break is in the offing.
Yes.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I'm mad. I am mad enough, and yet still very self-conscious that I'm going to write a book and I'm going to talk. I wanted to believe, and I tried my damnedest to believe in the rainbow that I tried to get over, and I couldn't.
The Don and Mike Show. Broadcasting live from downtown Dumbass, The Don and Mike Show.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, how are you guys?
We're great, thank you.
Well, just calling to say hey, haven't called in a long time.
Is this Asthma Boy?
No, it's not. Well,
it's too bad. He's one of my favorites.
I think it is Asthma Boy. You are. We've called you Asthma Boy in the past.
Well, that's not too friendly of a comment.
But I mean, we called
Mike,
you.
You got the ear. I give you the award. You got the golden ear.
I recognize. Okay. I recognize Asthma Boy. How is your asthma doing?
Well, my asthma is quite okay.
Do you have your inhaler with you now?
Pardon me?
Do you have your inhaler with you now?
Well, I don't use an inhaler.
Oh, sure you do.
No.
You're Asthma Boy.
Oh my! So what are you guys up to?
Well, right now,
to the show in about a week.
Right now, we're listening to you, Asthma Boy.
Well,
and we just had a Big Red on. Did you hear Big Red, Asthma Boy?
No, I didn't. And don't call me Asthma Boy.
Did you hear Big Red on, Asthma Boy?
No, I did not.
Asthma Boy, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Asthma Boy.
Asthma Boy, what a name.
The last time we talked to you, you were driving around, weren't you?
I was, yes.
With your asthma, you were driving around.
I was driving around in the car.
Sneezing, inhaling.
Oh, my.
How are you feeling today?
I feel fine, thank you.
AB.
How are you guys?
AB. AB.
Hello, AB.
What are you guys up to?
What do you want, Asthma Boy?
I just wanted to say I was...
Your asthma will only cut you so much slack on this show before we treat you like everybody else.
Well, you can treat me like everybody else, but I have a hard time. I just have a hard time getting around your...
You have a hard time getting around what, Asthma Boy?
Getting around you guys. You guys are tough.
Why are we tough, Asthma Boy?
I have no idea. That should be decided at a later date.
You are addicted to the show, isn't that correct, Asthma Boy?
Well, I haven't listened to it in a good 3 weeks.
Oh, really?
Why are you calling if you haven't listened?
Well, I was calling someone else.
Who were you?
It's a signal.
Who were you calling?
I was going to call CNBC.
Why were you going to call CNN? I bet they're waiting for the call. Hey, Asthma Boy on line 3. Brian Williams, Asthma Boy on line 3.
They're taking stock, you know.
They're what?
They're taking stock.
They are taking...
stock. That's their call-in program.
Tonight,
today.
Brian Williams interviews Asthma Boy.
Yeah. They might as well. Nobody watches that channel.
Well, I've really come... I've gotten accustomed to it, and I do enjoy it.
Why did you call CNBC? Why are you trying to call CNBC?
Well, I was just going to speak to Terry Keenan and their guest, and just going to talk to them about the stocks that I own.
the thoughts. What, could you share some of your thoughts with our listeners?
Sure.
Yeah, give us some of those MSNBC thoughts.
Thoughts of Asthma Boy.
I can tell you that this Asthma Boy is giving me a lot of grief. But my wife pretty much forbid me to call. So anybody, don't give word to my wife. You've heard me on the air.
You were going
to
say that on MSNBC?
No, I was going. I'm just thinking about it, and people know me.
Why did you want to call MSNBC? What were you going to say to them?
No, yeah, MSNBC.
And why would Mrs. Asthma Boy be upset?
She doesn't like me on the radio.
She doesn't. Well, that makes two of us.
Oh, okay, Don.
Listen, Asthma Boy, what were you going to say to the unwatched cable channel when you called?
You know, it's watched a lot in my house.
Yes.
But it is, I was going to ask him about a stock that I own. Diametric, D-M-E-D, on NASDAQ.
A stock you own?
Yeah.
Well, why don't you look in the paper to see how the stock's doing?
Well, I see what it's doing. I just want to know what their,
why don't
what
you
their
buy,
guru.
Why don't you buy stock in inhalers?
Why? Because I don't use inhalers.
You don't?
No, I don't. I mean, I only have exercise-induced asthma.
Oh, yeah, exercise-induced asthma.
All right, well then, drop and give me 20.
No way. I was walking around the house the last time, or the first time I called.
Oh, is that why you sounded like you
were out of breath?
Is that why you sounded like you had asthma, because you were walking around?
I walked up the stairs while I was speaking to you guys.
He was exhausted from playing the market.
Oh, yeah.
What about stress? Does that set it off also?
Stress does not do it, no.
Do you fight with your wife a lot, Asthma Boy?
No, I do not. No, it's not the pen.
That depends?
No, it's not depends. I do not fight with my wife often.
Often?
Not often enough.
Yeah, often. All right, Asthma Boy. Listen, I'm going to let you go because I'm sure they're waiting for that call at MSNBC.
Well, I don't think I can get through.
Oh, trust me. I'm positive. I bet I could dial and get through right now.
Pardon me?
I bet I could dial and get through.
It was a given that I could get through with you guys.
Oh, that's very funny, Asthma Boy. Are you trying to be nasty now?
I'm not being nasty.
Yes,
I like
you are.
You guys. I think you guys had a good show.
You're being nasty, A.B.
My friend Joe, who used to listen to the show.
Who's that? Is that
Joe.
Is that head drama Joe?
No, it's Joe Gover.
Joe Gover.
It's not, the joke's not over.
Yes, we've been put in our place by Asthma Boy.
Yes.
What, Asthma Boy?
And that's with Desserts by Design.
Oh, butter some toast with that, Asthma Boy.
Desserts by Design.
Sure that wasn't Joe Mama?
No, not Joe Mama. Joe Gover.
Joe Gover.
Gover and John Moss.
John Moss?
John Moss. Like no Moss. No Moss.
No, that one's no good, Asthma
like
Boy.
Roberta Duran? Not
Yeah, we
Moss.
Know no Moss.
I know what no Moss means, but listen, you should stop with Joe Gover.
No, it.
Joe Gover.
You guys are having a hard time. It's Desserts by Design.
I think anyone listening now would probably conclude that you may be the one having the hard time, Asthma.
And listen, I know you're trying to give some kind of plug here. I'm guessing it's for a catering business. Who would want to buy any food product that you are associated with?
You would not.
I mean, really, that's not butter in that tray.
I offered to I offered Jimmy to bring down some desserts.
Oh, great.
I mean, that was a while ago.
Yeah, who wants those?
Do you touch the food, Asthma Boy?
Not I.
Not what?
Not I.
He's Asthma Boy!
Asthma Boy on MSNBC.
Hi.
I'm Brian Williams, online with us from Baltimore. Asthma Boy!
Oh, yeah. Well, it's Towson, actually.
Look, with his feelings on the Tim McVeigh jury, here's Asthma Boy!
It's a bird! It's a plane! It's Asthma Boy!
I mean, he did a horrendous thing, but...
What?
Tim should not die.
Tim who?
Horrendous in his act.
Listen, I was only kidding. I really don't want your opinion on Timothy McVeigh.
Well, I'm sorry. I don't think he should die. I don't think anyone should die.
You're anti-capital punishment. Is that right, A.B.?
I am. Yes, sir.
I'm glad we clarified that.
All right, Asthma Boy. Listen, we have to go. He's a modern-day superhero, Mike.
Yes, he is.
You know, today's superheroes, they are slightly flawed as to make us feel as they are our contemporaries.
Faster than a speedy inhaler. What?
Like Handyman?
Able to go up and down the stairs.
Without.
Until he gets asthma.
He's Asthma Boy!
You guys really have an ear for it.
An ear for what? Asthma?
Well, you had the ear for my voice.
That was a little weird.
Oh, I recognized you right off, AB.
Yeah, Mike gets the prize.
Yeah.
I just thought you were one of our standard idiot callers, but you're one of our special idiot callers.
I am not one of your standard idiot callers.
You're a special idiot caller. I love you, Asthma Boy.
You know, really, I would actually say that perhaps you don't call enough, Asthma Boy.
I haven't called in ages.
Fighting crime with just his breath and his failing lungs. It's Asthma Boy!
Asthma Boy!
We're going to get together and have some desserts.
Oh, I'd love to sample your desserts, Asthma Boy.
Okay.
All right.
Well, we're gonna have to put me back in touch with your switchboard.
Oh, I will gladly do that. Rob, would you please pick up?
We have a lovely creme brulee flamme.
Hello, beautiful.
Portable phone destruction.
I love this game.
And let's go here to line number three first. Someone wins $100, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. This is Matt. Hello, Matt.
Matt, are you there?
What's that?
There he is. Hi, Matt.
How you doing?
We're doing great. Now, this is a contest that could go on for a half hour, or it could end right here if you've got a good one, Matt.
Okay.
It's purely subjective. Whatever Mike and I decide is the best, we'll immediately come to that realization, and we will declare a winner.
What kind of phone do you have there, Matt?
Let me look at this thing here. Got it all on the chopping block. GE.
A GE portable phone?
Yeah.
And Matt, how will you be destroying your portable phone today?
I'm going to run my lawn tractor right over it.
You're going to run a lawn tractor over it?
Yeah.
Okay, nobody's on the other side of that lawn tractor where the shards of plastic are going to come out, right?
I got this all set up.
Now, what's it, like a lawnmower you're using?
Yeah.
Okay, is it a riding mower?
Yep.
Okay.
All right, the famous lawn tractor.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what we'd like you to do is put the phone wherever it is that's going to be easiest for you to destroy. Then as you're walking back to the tractor, scream out to let us know that you're about to destroy it.
And give us
I was smart enough to bring out my other phone, too.
Well, that's good. Okay, then you can give us a little play-by-play.
All right, you ready?
Yes, we are ready. Here's our first contestant. It's Matt from Pennsylvania.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we're ready.
Okay, here's the phone. It's going down. All right.
And he's putting the phone on the lawn.
Get on track here.
I love this game.
He's got it all set up on the driveway here.
That's what the show's all about, right?
Get on track a little bit. And then we'll go forward. And there we are, right over top of it. Now we'll engage the blade. Here we go, wrap that sucker up, and down we go. Oh! That was it.
All right, now here's the only problem. Because you were talking to us the whole time on the other phone.
Hello.
Yes.
I think what we're hearing is the other phone right now.
You got to kind of hold on.
All right, hold on a second. Matt's mistake was talking to us the whole time on the other phone.
Sure, and a lot of times, you should call back.
Right. Yeah. We'll get your phone number.
We'll get your phone number, and we'll call you.
We'll call you back. See, the problem is, he was talking the whole time. Hey, I'm driving over it now. And
we like the thrill of losing contact with you. That makes the phone destruction work better.
Yeah. All right, let's try another call. Hello, is this Baltimore?
Yes.
Hi, you're on the air.
How you doing?
Doing great. What's your name?
Barkley.
Barkley, as in Charles?
As in the boys from the Big Valley.
Oh, I got you. The Barkley boys. Okay.
Yes, I remember Clint Blackley. Barkley.
Okay. How are you going to be destroying your telephone today?
I'm going to put it in a trash can, light on fire.
Put it in a trash can, light it on fire. That's
Don,
right. Could be a winner.
Unique is what we're seeking here.
Could be a winner. All right.
So I got some gas out of the gas can for the lawnmower.
Oh, my.
Okay, be very careful with that gas can. Don't burn yourself up.
Pyro. Here we go.
I hear that. All right. Let us hear it.
All right. Y'all going to call me back, right?
Yes, we will call you back.
All right. Here we go. I'm dropping it in the can now. Here's the can. All right. It's going in the can.
I got to get a match so I can get back from the can.
This one's pretty good.
I love this. This is so great.
There it is.
Okay, can hear the flames.
Well, not much of a payoff there.
No.
I take that back.
You can hear the flames.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
Slowly fading away.
That's pretty good.
And that's it.
Yeah, I like that one.
That's I like that one.
That's a good one.
That was a good one.
That's a good one.
That was Barkley in Baltimore.
All right, I see we have two other pretenders to the crown.
All right.
We have the guy from Sioux City who says he's going to put it in a microwave.
Mm-hmm.
And a guy from California who's going to use a chainsaw.
Oh, God.
Let's do the chainsaw first. Hello, Bruce.
Yeah?
Hi, Bruce. Welcome to the big show. Thank you for listening. And Diamond Springs, California. Where the hay is that?
East of Sacramento.
Okay. And you got a chainsaw?
Yeah, got a chainsaw.
Are you wearing protective goggles, Bruce?
But of course.
There you go. But of course. All right, good man. Well, let's hear it, Bruce.
All right. Got to put it down here on the...
All right, brother.
Let her rip. Let her
Hold
rip.
Hold on. Okay. Got to fire it up.
Started with the guy who ran it over with a lawnmower. That guy set his phone on fire.
Here we go.
Yeah! You know, that guy's got to be the winner right there.
Wow!
That's pretty good.
Oh, boy. And, of course, we are disconnected because the phone has been destroyed.
Now, just for snacks, let me hear the guy with a microwave.
Okay. Okay.
Hello? Sioux City?
Sioux City, are you there?
What, is Rob on that line? Hey, Rob, are you on line 4? Put it on hold, please. What are you doing? All right, hold on a second.
Hello?
Line 5. Who is this? Is this Derek?
Hello?
Is this Derek?
Hello?
Is this Derek from Jacksonville?
Yes, sir.
Gotcha. Hi, Derek.
Hi, how you doing? I'm a great fan. I was stationed up in D.C. I'm originally from Florida, and I used to listen to you guys all the time.
Well, thank you for listening to us in Jacksonville.
I love you guys. I'm glad I can get you guys down here.
I think that we've already got a winner. I think we're going to go with a guy who
This is my mom's phone. I want to destroy it.
Guy who used the chainsaw. How are you going to destroy the phone, Derek?
I got a sledgehammer.
Yeah, the old traditional sledgehammer.
Sledgehammer, and it's also got an axe on one side.
All right. Well, let me hear what you can...
along with my mom. Is that a bonus?
Let me hear what you can do, son. Okay. I think we're going to give it to the chainsaw guy, but maybe you'll get a second place prize.
Okay.
Good luck, Derek.
Let me get my wife, get my son out of the way.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah.
Keep the little kids away.
Here, hold your... All right.
Now, what are you putting it on the floor? I mean...
I'm outside. I'll lay the phone next to it.
Okay.
All right.
I make no promises here, because that chainsaw guy's got to be our winner.
Here we go! Did you get that?
Yeah, but you didn't destroy it, because we can still hear you.
Oh.
Give it another slam.
All right.
All right.
Here we go.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah!
All right.
Random phone. You know, nothing can top that chainsaw. Yeah.
That chainsaw guy's our winner. We get him back on the line?
If we can find him.
Here he is. It's Bruce.
You know,
hey.
I remember we played the game one time, and it was the person's only phone.
Bruce? Hello?
Yeah, hello.
Hey, Bruce, congratulations. You win the $100.
All right.
A chainsaw is the way to our heart every time.
You got that chainsaw handy, Bruce? Can you rev it up for us one more time so we can hear it?
In the house now.
Oh, you're in the living room.
Well, let me go run and get it.
Okay, while you're doing that, for all of our other callers, includes Barkley, the guy from Baltimore, set his phone on fire.
Derek with the sledgehammer.
Matt, who ran over the phone with his lawn tractor. All of those guys will get a Ghost in the Darkness compass and leather cat canteen.
What was that again?
A Ghost in the Darkness compass and leather canteen.
That's the one that's running on pay-per-view now.
As a matter of fact, make sure you order Ghost in the Compass on pay-per-view. Ghost in the Darkness. What is that? Ghost in the Compass?
Yes. All right, you ready?
Order Ghost in the Darkness on pay-per-view today.
All right.
Call your local cable operator for details, period. So thanks to all of our callers. That was a pretty good installment.
Yeah, I enjoyed the flames and I all, but the chainsaw was the top.
You can't go wrong. As we go to break, let's hear that mighty chainsaw again, my friend.
Here we go.
Okay, here's the winner.
Oh man, hold on.
Here's your winner right here.
Yeah.
Here's your winner, ladies and gentlemen.
Bravo!
Doo-doo-doo.
I don't want to smoke out the house.
Thank you, Bruce. And our thanks to all of those guys. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Now, you kids are probably saying to yourselves, hey, I'm going to go out and I'm going to get the world by the tail and wrap it around and pull it down and put it in my pocket. Well, I'm here to tell you that you're probably going to find out as you go out there that you're not going to amount to jack squat. You're going to end up eating a steady diet of government cheese and living in a van down by the river.
The Don and Mike Show. Ready to pick you up and shake you in a figure eight. Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
What up, my yellow brothers? Kings in the house.
Yo.
Ready for some old-fashioned punishment.
All right.
Charles, if you would please take the accused to the assigned position.
Hope he dressed warmly.
I think that we have a tree outside ready, and we're going to strap Rockhead to a tree.
Very good.
And I'm not sure exactly what we're going to do once we get him strapped to the tree.
Just being outside today, strapped to a tree, is good punishment.
The only thing that I had to promise him was that we would not, and we would definitely not allow our listeners to come down and pelt him with snowballs.
No, absolutely not.
And there would be no physical harm. This is all psychological torture.
That's correct.
That we're going to inflict on Mike Rockhead, who is, incidentally, not just maybe, but he has won the title of the worst phone screener ever.
So he will be taken outside and taped to a tree.
Right. Where is he? Let's get this show on the road.
Moving slow.
I'm ready to start. The guy didn't, and the reason for this is that he didn't show up to work yesterday.
Dead man walking.
Right. Everybody else made it in yesterday, except Mike Rockhead.
Right.
Who drives a Toyota. And Toyotas are great in the snow.
Sure. There he goes.
There he goes. There goes the accused man, not even wearing a jacket.
Wendell, the prison guard, is late. He better wear a jacket.
Yeah, I think he should.
It's his choice.
He's so slow.
I don't need one.
So what we're going to do is take him outside and tape him to a tree.
It was warm when I came in.
We're just going to duct tape him to a tree.
Good.
And make him say I'm sorry a bunch of times.
I like this music. I don't know why I like this music, but I do.
It's the Rockhead theme.
Music for the condemned man.
This is music that plays in Rockhead's head all the time.
Now they're going to the main tree, right outside our picture window, our window on the world. And he's actually facing us. And now we should have some type of wireless microphone so that we could actually communicate with the boy. Hi, Charlie.
How are you?
Oh, there you go. It's Charlie Broyhill. Hi, can you... Oh, so obviously, what do you have, a headpiece in or something? An earpiece?
No, there's a Wendell set up a monitor out here, and I can hear.
Ah, ask Rocket, what's he doing without a coat on?
I don't know. I didn't grab one.
Okay.
He's rocking.
Your butt. And now, Charlie, let me turn the music off so we can actually hear you duct taping Rockhead to the tree.
He's getting up to his arms now.
Yeah, that's one good thing about Charlie Broyhill.
Right.
He doesn't do it half-assed.
Right, exactly.
I mean, he's really, like, in a hostage situation taping him to the tree.
That's marvelous. We'll be able to just keep looking at him out there. Hi, Rockhead. How you doing?
Fine, Mike. Thanks.
I'm so sad you're going to be leaving us. Oh, I'm going to miss you so much.
There he goes. Nice and tight.
There he is. I think that's plenty.
That's
good,
fine, Charlie.
I haven't got his legs yet.
Yeah, do his legs.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Ankles.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, his ankles. That's all you need to do is really do it well around his ankles.
If you must. Now, we're going to have Charlie out there and Wendell out there also to make sure that no harm comes to Mike Rockhead.
Yes, they'll be guarding him.
Because we really don't want anybody to come down and do anything to him. However...
No.
What?
No, I was just saying, no, we don't want anybody to do anything to him.
But
who are those passersby?
You know, there are already people coming by just to take a look at him.
Tourists are already checking you out there, Rockhead.
How's it feel, Rockhead?
I feel fine, thank you. Lovely.
And I hear horns honking as people drive by. As people drive by the Don and Mike World Broadcast headquarters.
Ain't that a kick in the head?
These are all the people who hate you, Rockhead. All these people. Everybody, as you drive by the station with Rockhead taped to a tree, if you hate him, honk your horns. Let us hear you.
And Charlie, have you conveniently taped a microphone to his chest?
I'm getting ready to.
That is pretty funny.
Brilliant.
I like that. They're taping a microphone to Rockhead's chest.
There you go. And there's Tammy out there. Tammy's out there with a big WJFK sign.
Of course.
To make sure that anybody who drives by makes sure that they know it's us.
This is
the side of a tree.
This is much like the phone screeners are punished in China.
We'd whack him with a stick if we could.
Sure.
Right. There goes Tom, the owner of the building, with a shovel. That's not right. Get someone to do that, Tom.
No, no, don't do that, Tom. He was ready to get a big shovel full of snow and put it on Rockhead's head.
Now, what are they? What's that, a WJFK jacket?
Yeah.
It's just a jacket in case you got cold.
Oh, you're such a nice warden.
I love when Charlie has to talk to me and come close to me like that.
So let me explain what's going on now. As we are speaking, Mike Rockhead has been duct taped to a tree. His hands, his legs, his shoulders. Could you move? Could you try to break out of that?
This is the punishment for failing to come into work when everyone else did yesterday.
There you go. So now he's actually taped, duct taped to a tree.
Hey, Rockhead, is the tape giving you any warmth?
This electrical duct tape. And there is a microphone that is taped directly under his chin, mm-hmm. so that we can remain in constant contact with him, yet he does not have to hold the microphone.
I'm Mr. McWilliams.
So, Rocket, now you can lean your whole body weight forward and the tree and the tape is...
I'm not going to.
It's supporting
you. Charlie is. He's very thorough.
So, yesterday... Tell us what else you did yesterday besides... What did he have to eat yesterday?
Tortellini.
I watched The General's Daughter. I planned it Sunday, but did not watch it yet. I watched that, and I played a little PlayStation.
PlayStation.
9-2000. That was the
it. Wendell, that is a Fargo outfit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Heck of a deal. Yes, sir.
Yeah, deal. Deal. All right, what are they doing now? They're retaping him now, it looks like.
He's taping my... Now, for some reason,
that's on Broyhill. That's cruel and unusual punishment that will be on Commissioner Broyhill's account.
So, are you feeling hypothermic yet?
Yeah, I'm just feeling it in my hands right now.
Now, he hasn't been out there long enough yet, Mike.
For the real hypothermia to set in.
Yeah, we gotta wait.
Yeah, remember that one intern we had that died of exposure?
Sure do.
Yeah, that was a long day.
And now Charlie and Wendell are walking away.
Yes.
Leaving Rockhead by himself taped to a tree.
Hello, Rockhead.
Hello, boys.
This is the real highlight right here.
This is the life.
We have taken our phone screener and we have taped him to a tree and he is out there alone.
Happy holidays.
He's alone in 2 feet of snow. He chose not to wear a jacket.
Yes, he made that decision. It's the way he lives most of his life. He didn't think it through.
It's called living dangerously.
Is it cold? You getting cold?
Yeah, it's damn cold out here.
How come you didn't wear a jacket?
I don't know, Mike. I just didn't.
That's a good answer.
I don't know.
You know what's funny? I see people almost getting in accidents because he's taped to the tree
right.
so that he's facing the studio. He's not facing the traffic out on Main Street. People are actually having to crane their necks.
You don't get a real good look at him.
When they drive by the CBS building to get a look at him.
But feel free to give a honk when you drive
by. Go back to shoveling, Jeff.
Oh. There you go. Let's just enjoy this for a moment. Now, what is this? Oh, we have a crown to put on his head. Okay.
It's nice. His dunce crown.
Okay.
There he is. Oh, don't wait. Don't shake it off. Oh, you're so uncooperative. You're going to have to duct tape your head to the tree.
They went out and put a crown on his head, and he shook it off.
Well, we could tape it to his head.
Okay, now.
What are they putting?
Now,
Tom, you're really getting quite a thrill out of this.
Are you part of the show? That wasn't me.
What was Tom sticking? Why was Tom sticking his stick in you?
I don't know. This guy Tom is the guy who owns the building.
Right.
He's the George Jefferson of this building. And for whatever reason, he just went out and took like this big branch that fell off a tree and shoved it in Rockhead's pocket. Why he did that, I don't know.
He likes the torture.
Now wait, Charlie Broyhill is taking the crown off.
Oh, look at how nice he's being.
Oh, that's my hair.
What are you doing to him,
he's
Charlie?
He's helping you.
What's he doing? He's putting a hat on his head.
Pull my hair out.
Oh, he's put like a stocking cap on him.
And gloves.
And gloves.
Yeah.
Since when do we afford all these luxuries?
You know, it's at Amnesty International when they called the show.
Yeah,
they wanted human. We were doing a few human rights violations.
I thought we were supposed to be teaching him. How are we gonna learn him anything if we give him gloves?
I would venture to say we could leave him out there naked, taped to a tree. He wouldn't learn nothing. Just the kind of guy he is.
Mm-hmm.
Anything.
All right, now the crown is gone. Back on top of the skull cap.
You know, you do look extra goofy dumb right now.
Yeah, he does. if it's possible for him to look any goofy, dumbier than he already does.
Maybe we could get a picture so you could take a look at it later and see how handsome you are.
That'd make a nice screensaver, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah.
That would make a nice mouse pad.
I don't live because I don't trust the people.
I know.
All right, here comes Big Gum Jim. Oh, it's another hat for you. It's a Santa Claus hat.
You put it right on top of the crown.
This is where.
Oh,
that wasn't me.
You're so uncooperative.
This is where the people.
That wasn't me.
Now, Jimmy, don't hit him.
Don't hit him.
Anymore. Jim McClure just slapped him in the head. Because he went, let me explain what happened. He has like this skull cap, like a knit cap on.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Then on top of that, he has a crown. On top of that, Jim McClure put a Santa Claus hat. And apparently that's where Rocket decided he had had enough.
Right.
So he shook his head. All the caps fell on the ground. Jim McClure came over and slapped him in the side of the head.
There you go.
Up, and he's just knocked all the hats off again. You know, Charlie, you might have to tape his head.
That's because it's filled with meat.
You might just have to tape his forehead to the tree.
All three of the hats don't fit on his head.
Yeah, because it's too fat, filled with meat.
Too much brain.
Yeah.
Too much brain, my
too much
ass.
Brain. That's
too much
brain. That's a lot of gristle.
Too much brain.
So do you feel like you've learned your lesson?
I've learned my lesson.
I don't
Next
think he
Thursday,
has yet.
I will be here.
I don't think he's learned his lesson yet. I think he needs a little while more.
I do. I believe so.
Just a little while to think about things.
I have learned my lesson.
Good long while.
Is there remorse, regret?
I don't hear it, Buzz.
Remorse, Buzz.
So,
I regret.
Do you think he really...
I should have risked my life to be here yesterday.
Do you think he'd die if we left him overnight and came back the next day?
Be a great experiment.
Yeah, it really would.
I'd really love to try it. See, and Buzz... In answer to your question, no, I don't hear remorse.
No, I haven't heard it either.
I still hear more of that.
I hear it in there. I'm
more of that sass tone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when he says, next time I will risk my life to come into work, that's his way of saying F you.
And listen, genius, when you're talking about remorse, the sentence, I don't know what else to tell you, shouldn't be part of your vernacular, okay?
I apologize.
You should.
I'd like to hear, how long is my song here? 2.5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to hear a 2.5 minute apology to myself, to Mike, to Buzz, to Charlie, to Rob,
and to our listening audience.
To all the people listening right now who you let down yesterday.
And maybe we'll consider freeing you if it's decent enough.
Mike, Don, Buzz, Charlie, Rob, I'm sorry. I'm truly sorry. I wish I could look you in the eye right now. I have to look down at the microphone. I am sorry for not showing up yesterday. And to Big Gum Jim, thank you very much. You were wonderful yesterday. I could have taken a lesson.
All right, that's great. That's only about 20 seconds. Keep going. You've got about 2 more minutes to fill.
Why are you sorry? Go on that riff.
I apologize for not coming in yesterday.
Why?
I was in my car, and I should have just kept coming.
Yes.
And for that, I truly am sorry.
And now specifically speak to our listening audience.
Our listeners, I know you missed me yesterday, and for that, I apologize.
Hell, you marvelous sportscaster. And now give me play-by-play on a home run by Mark McGwire.
Yeah, that's good. So we get into the home run.
My hatred for Mark McGwire.
Oh, you don't like Mark McGwire. Yeah, okay.
Okay.
There's a popular stance, moron. All right, let's do some of your play-by-play.
Because, you know, that's his goal someday.
Right, to be a play-by-play baseball
announcer. This idiot phone screener we have. He wants to be like the next Vin Scully.
It's a little too windy out here to be
going
that.
That's his pathetic pipe dream. All right, would you like to give us...
apologize some more?
You know, then, yeah, keep going the apology and apologize to the listeners like you mean it.
They know I mean it. They know I love them very much. And I would never do anything to intentionally hurt them. And I have wronged.
You have wronged?
Yes.
Or you mean you have erred?
No, I have wronged.
So you wrong somebody, you err.
But I have wronged them.
There, that's
and you have erred. And as long as you're out there strapped to a tree, what else would you like to apologize for? How about your bad attitude at work? How about your lack of enthusiasm?
My enthusiasm is lacking the last couple of days, but it has been rejuvenated.
Rejuvenated. The hypothermia is starting to set in now. And now could you call
teeth are chattering.
Call a game for us. Call a game for us, okay? Come on, give us a little play-by-play.
I can't do that right
Complete
now.
With the... that thing you do. Come on, that's funny.
I can't do it right now.
We'll free you if you do that.
I apologize.
What would you like to say to the many people who have called this show and you have inadvertently hung up on or been rude to?
I apologize.
Is that cold?
I was very rude to you.
Is that cold? Is that cold getting to you?
Rockhead?
Oh, wait, the law is here. The law, oh.
What is
law,
the law has nothing to do with this. There are two cops outside.
The law, you know what? This is it, Rockhead. They're taking you away. They're taking you away.
We're not breaking any law by taping this guy to a tree.
I don't think so. Well, we'll find out shortly.
Would you think the cops would have more important things to worry about today than coming by because we're taping a guy to a tree?
I'd like to say hi to the officers on our monitor outside.
Can you? Well, no, I would say this to their face. Hey, guys. And we're on private property. All we're doing is taping this dude to a tree because he just won't listen.
Well, let's see if we can hear what the locals are saying.
Let's see, Charlie.
I would put the mic closer if I could.
What's going on, Rocket?
Hey, Jimmy. Know? Jimmy, get on microphone and can you tell me what the officers are saying?
Right, I guess it's going on right
Jimmy's
now.
Going to listen now.
They're worried about the traffic. There's an accident out here.
Okay.
Some people right. looking at Rockhead.
Oh, really? That, well, we certainly didn't intend that.
It was my good looks.
Oh, God.
Well, I think it's only right that you pay for any damages caused by any wrecks with people straining their necks to look at you.
Jimmy, could you ask the officers if there's an accident, will Rockhead be responsible?
Hold on. Here comes Charlie Broyhill to the microphone.
We're being forced by the police to stop this at once.
Okay.
All right.
My saviors.
No, there's a potential for an accident.
All right. Well, we got him. At least we punished him.
Okay.
At least we got some punishment.
There he's being cut loose now.
That's right.
The police have done their job again.
Fantastic.
Huzzah!
Huzzah for the men in blue.
There we go.
Oh, we just have to torture him inside then, where we won't cause any kind of any kind of a traffic problem.
Next time we can put him down in the garage.
But there won't be a next time.
Yeah.
There won't be. He and I had a discussion today, and he has decided to explore other options in his career. But he's going to hang on until we get a replacement.
Oh, very good.
That's
great.
So it'll be an amiable parting that we have with Mike Rockhead.
Now you can hear the sound of the duct tape being removed from Mr. Rockhead.
They were...
Who said that?
I did, Charlie.
The cops?
Yes.
Why, what did they say?
There's a potential.
Oh, so there wasn't a real accident?
No, there's a potential there could be one, and we would be sued if there was.
Shouldn't those guys be, like, looking for bank robbers and stuff instead of worrying about us?
There's a potential of an accident.
There are lots of guys like Rockhead running around the streets.
Yeah, they should be worried more about real crime and junk than worrying about us taping a goofy phone guy to a tree.
No, you heard Rocket. It's his incredible good looks.
Whatever. All right. Well, punishment over. There punishment over courtesy of the Fairfax City Police.
All right. They're coming in. They're making their way back in. He will be now having the pleasure to answer your phones all day.
Yes, he will.
You can give him your personal response to his statement of remorse.
Here now is Chuck Broyhill.
I just want to say, we have bomb threats, and they laugh at us. We tie someone out to a tree, and they're by here in a second.
Mm-hmm.
Do they really laugh? Do they really laugh when we get the bomb threat?
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Charlie. I agree. I don't think we do anything wrong out there. Frankly, I really don't.
Yeah.
They don't have more important stuff to do the day after a blizzard?
I don't know.
Whatever. Whatever. We comply.
You gotta say that like the Simpsons guy.
Whatever. Whatever. Well, I hope he's learned his lesson. Hey, Rocket, come here. Have you learned your lesson?
Let's find out.
Yeah, good question.
In your limited time that you have left with this show... Do you think now that you'll be a more remorseful employee? Michael Rockhead, do you think you've learned your lesson?
Of course.
Do you think that this is a life lesson that you will take to your next job?
Yes.
That whatever your next job is, if it snows, if it rains, you'll come in?
I will be there in a flash.
Good. Lesson learned?
Learned well.
Oh, good. Okay, go greet your public.
All right. Nothing but love on those phones today.
There you go.
Nothing but love. Remember, thick skin. Come on now. Gotta have it. Thick skin, baby.
There he goes.
There is the punishment of Michael Rockhead. We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hey.
Hey,
Robert.
Here's the ointment I borrowed.
Oh.
I don't know what happened to the applicator.
You know what? Keep it.
Something wacky this way comes. The Don and Mike Show.
Everyone knows that Rockhead has been answering all of these telephones, yet he's only screened one call to make it on the air.
I guess he's feeling the Quan.
Someone who says he accepts Rockhead's apology.
Okay.
I guess he didn't put through all the calls with people telling him to go scratch. Hello, Jeff.
He wanted to make sure this one would get through.
Right.
I do accept the apology of Michael. He did actually sound sincere. Although I wish we would have had the opportunity to throw snowballs or with him or whatever. But
okay. I know there's a lot of hatred out there for him. Absolutely. But listen, everybody listening should know that this is not a bit or a gag.
Mm-hmm.
I really had a meeting with Rockhead today, and we discussed his future and mutually decided that he has no future on this show.
Uh-huh.
So he is going to move on
right.
in his career, and we are going to replace him.
Oh, that's a shame.
But until such time as we find a replacement,
right.
he will still be slogging in, answering the telephone calls.
And the Fairfax City Police blow. Believe me, at least to live there.
All right, well, thank you, my friend. I just think that they could have handled it nicer. They yes. could have been a little less Nazi-ish.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could come up and say, listen, guys, you have the chance that you could have a traffic problem, why don't you please move
yeah,
it inside?
I agree.
Instead, they came by and they, you know, tried to strong-arm Charlie and said,
right.
you know, move it inside. We just heard the whole thing
right.
from Broyhill about
yeah,
the stuff they were telling him.
It could have been done differently. Yeah.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Hello, Paisley.
Yes.
Paisley, what a neat name that is.
Hey, baby.
Hey, baby.
Hey, baby.
Man.
Well, I just, you know, I'm all for cops. My uncle's one. But, you know, there were three cars on the road. What's up with that? There was no traffic.
Well, listen, let me tell you something, honey. It's been long-standing here since we started working at this station. Virtually every time we do anything outside,
mm-hmm.
the cops come by.
Mm-hmm.
They do. I don't know if it's people in the neighborhood that call
right.
and complain. I don't know if it's just that these guys are listening to the show with nothing better to do.
We're used to it.
You know,
I'm for that one.
They come by, but all you know, all we can do is say, okay, you know, we'll stop whatever we're doing.
And that's what we did.
I know.
That's why Rockhead's.
Right.
That's why Rockhead's inside now, all warm and toasty, taking all his love calls.
All right, mm-hmm. thank you, Paisley.
Bye, honey.
All right, goodbye, bye, honey. Hello, Scott.
Hi, how you doing?
Hey, buddy.
How's it going, guys? Listen, Mike, I have never been a fan of Mike Rockhead, but I do want to say that I think his apology sounded sincere to me. I think he sounded like he was truly sorry for not coming in yet.
You tape somebody to a tree, that'll get a little remorse out of him.
Yeah, I think doing something like that is bound to get them feeling sorry, at least for themselves and nothing else.
All right, thank you, my friend.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you, bye-bye.
Bye.
I bet he wallows in a great deal of self-pity.
Oh, absolutely. No, but you know, it's a balancing act.
Right.
Because he balances between self-pity...
And bravado.
And this amazing ego that he has.
Yes.
You know, I was looking at him today when I was having this meeting with him. I had
right.
a meeting with him before the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, listen, you know, no ball busting, all the crap from the show aside,
right.
he's a nice guy.
Yeah, he is a nice guy. We like him, and that is the truth.
And you're a good worker. I said, but really... You don't bring a lot to the job. You don't seem to be real enthused about the job. And he explained to me a situation that he works another job.
Yeah, he's got another gig, right.
He works
right.
an overnight shift, and a lot of times he comes in here, he's sleep-deprived, and he's got kind of a thin skin for the stuff that goes on the show. And while he was giving me this lengthy diatribe, I was looking at him, and the only thing I could think is, you know, he really is not handsome.
but he thinks he is.
He thinks he has this... He alternates between being totally petrified
right.
and this intense bravado.
Right.
I mean, it's a fine line. I'm
strange man.
I'm thinking, you know, on one hand, I look at him when I'm having the conversation today, and
right.
it looks like he's about to fall apart. But then 2 seconds later, it's like he puffs out his chest and he says, you know what, you're right. I should move beyond this job.
Yeah, he said.
I should move on to something
right.
else.
I've never met one like him. I'll be honest with you. I have to tell you that. There has not been a person that has done that job that I have ever met that is like Rocket. He is really weird.
He's not handsome.
I want to say
that for the record.
He tells you, I get the impression when he comes in here, he does speak his mind. He says what's on his mind.
Mm-hmm.
There's
yeah.
very little game playing with Mikey Rocket.
That's true. He thinks he's handsome.
He does.
He really
believes
does.
He's handsome.
Hello, Jim.
Yes.
Maybe his mommy told him that or something.
And he believed it.
Ma Rockhead. Hi, Jim.
Hello.
Hi. Turn down your radio, please, Jim.
Yes. When Mike Rockhead leaves, it's going to be a real pisser when he leaves.
Explain that, please.
Well, I mean, he brings something to the radio. I mean, he's always busting his chest about him being so handsome and everything.
Yes.
So you're saying it's going to be bad when he leaves?
Right.
Now, listen, you will soon forget about him, and we'll replace him with another person. And that's one position on the show that is in constant flux.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, let's be honest. It's kind of a dead-end job, and, you know, that's the bottom line.
Right. It's a job that pays no benefits.
Right.
There's no insurance at all. It pays a relatively small hourly wage, mm-hmm. and there's no overtime involved.
Right.
You can only work a certain amount of hours a week, so it is a dead-end position.
Yeah. And it's a good job for somebody who wants to, like, get into a radio station, and somebody that actually maybe is doing something else and just wants to do that for fun.
Mm-hmm.
Really, in all seriousness, that's what it's for.
In 3 years, you'll see him at 11 o'clock giving some play-by-play commentary from some low-lame...
How much you want to bet on that?
Okay, thank you, my friend.
There you go. All
right. That's the real answer.
That's one of his fan members.
Hello, David.
I think he should stick around. I think he should reconsider.
Yeah, well, that's a decision that's really already been made.
Well,
unless what would Rocket do? I mean, he'd have to come back out in hand.
Well, he does hang up on people, but I think it's only because he believes that's what you want.
No, listen, this is the problem. I don't want to get into a whole...
This is what happens when when you're nice enough to let the listeners in on everything that's going on. You got all the, the Monday morning quarterbacks here, the backseat drivers.
You guys really don't know what's going on. I don't want to get into it with you, but...
Okay, I'll leave the driving to you.
Even though it is a relatively low-paid position and it's a dead-end position, it's a position that's very important to any radio show.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike... Because he gets hung up on a lot, and because people call him names a lot,
right.
Sometimes is not able to focus on the task at hand.
Mm-hmm.
He will sit back there, and he will fume, and rather than answer telephone calls and try to find calls of people who want to come on the show, he's more intent on finding some guy's phone number
right.
who called him up and called him a fag.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'll spend all day just focusing on that one telephone call.
Right, exactly.
I mean, you've been back there a lot of times, and you see with he's got his head in his hands.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. But let's not kid ourselves. Sure. It's a little difficult to deal with that, and you do need a thick skin, and mm-hmm. many times he will have days where he's pretty possessed by some of these calls.
And he just can't focus on his job.
He just can't take it personal, that's all.
I tried to tell him that. I mean, I swear to God, that was the conversation I started to have with him today
mm-hmm.
was the don't take it so personal speech, and it ended up being Rockhead telling me, well, he's got this other job and thinks it's maybe it's time we part company.
Right.
So I said, okay, say la vie. Goodbye. You're dead to me.
No, God.
Bring in the next body. Be prepared to be taped to the tree today.
Oh, man.
All right. Thank you, David.
But obviously, we are, it is going to be an amicable parting because of the fact that he did allow himself to be taped to the tree today.
Right.
So, I mean, that's good. That's a good thing.
He's all right.
Hello. Don and Mike Show. Chris.
Yeah. Isn't there, some place you can take him and tie him back up where the police won't bust on you?
Well, only inside the station.
He's been punished today.
Okay. Well, how long is it going to take to replace him? About 4 minutes?
It's one of his buddies calling right now.
All right. Hello. Hello, Dave in Idaho.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, buddy.
How you guys doing?
We're doing great, thank you.
Hey, I was listening to your show when you talked about the fire marshal, spot?
The guy with the parking spots, yeah.
Yeah. What the hell's up with that? Was there like a fire drill in your building or what?
No, they're talking about the sprinkler system that needs to be brought up to specs, and so the fire marshal told everybody that was parked in the underground garage to Amscray.
And he just takes your spot like he's king of the hill or something, huh?
Well, he was in this case, he was king of the hill.
He has that authority.
He came in with his fire guy coat and his fire guy car. And
there is a tremendous groundswell of question authority mentality today.
Yes, there is
indeed. There's some angry people out there.
But frankly, I wonder why so many public servants have mm-hmm. decided to come down on this radio station today.
I would think
the day after a blizzard,
yes,
that the fire marshal would have something else to do and that the police would have something else to do, but
they
don't, so let's deal with it. Let's move on.
Hey, what's your thing about Idaho?
Pardon me?
You ever come out to Idaho before?
No. Hello, Riley.
Yeah, I want the job.
Oh, listen, Riley, everybody does.
Yeah, okay, but how much does he make?
Not be qualified.
I'm very qualified.
No, I'm saying you might not be qualified. Even talking to you, I'm thinking you might not be qualified.
I'm your board op in Burlington.
You're the board op?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I still think you might not be qualified.
So what do I do not to be qualified? I mean, did I just come on, too strong?
Nope.
Yeah, goodbye. I think basically, the next time we fill this position, MPA. No f*** allowed.
Exactly.
Okay.
I think boys, excuse me. I mean, I'm talking to Buzz and Rob here. A little more enthusiastic round of applause for that.
Generally, our audience responds better to a hottie answering the telephones than they do some big, cheesy intern.
That's right. Here comes Charles Broyhill.
Hello, hello, Charlie.
Hi, I want you to know I will be hiring the most qualified applicant.
Okay. Oh, right, Mr. EEO, I got you.
Very good, Charlie.
Okay, just as long as she has a...
The law.
That's all we care about, Charlie. You see that zit on the end of his nose?
It's gotten worse.
Gigantic.
Taking over his whole head.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, is it Rockhead?
Here he comes again. No, this is not Rockhead.
Hey, hold on a second. How would you like to try to pop that zit right now on the air?
I tried popping it many times at home, and there's nothing to come out.
I believe I'm looking at what is called a blind pimple. So
okay.
There's nothing to pop.
No, it's just been really, I mean, it feels a lot better today than it has in the past, because I couldn't rub it like I am.
That hurts me.
Try to squeeze
it.
Try to squeeze it.
Squeeze.
Will you just try? Please?
How does that
sound? Squeeze real hard.
I am.
Is there no pus coming out?
No pus. Just more oil comes out.
Take a razor blade?
Oh. I used a pin. I used a pin to try to, you know, to get some stuff out, but
that
nothing.
Is really, I mean, it's huge. You might have to go to a dermatologist.
Oh, it'll go away.
You might have to have that lanced.
Lance that boil.
Lance that boil. You've got a boil on the end of your nose.
I do.
A blind boil.
It's a big boil. Hello, Joe. Joe, you're on the air. Joey.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hey, buddy.
How you doing?
Great, thank you.
I have a couple of questions I want to ask you. One, when Mike gets fired, do you think he'll rehire Luthard to be the screener?
No.
Absolutely not.
No.
Oh. And another thing, do you remember how you were talking about how your son was disappointed that you were listening to DMX?
Yes.
I think I know why. If he's anything like my son, he hates that white people listen to black people music. So it might be something like that, because Insane Clown Posse is a bunch of white people singing black people music.
Right, okay. Thank you. Great insight. Thank you, sir.
Brilliant.
Hello, Bill.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Bill, hello, my friend.
Hey, man. You guys let the best screener you had, like, that she left. We got to do whatever we got to do to get Christine Kerner back.
Oh, that's true.
Now, wouldn't I love to, but listen, I seriously had discussions with Christine. Christine got a real job.
Yeah, she's in sales now.
Yes, I mean, she makes a real a decent salary. Mm-hmm. We don't have the money to hire Christine. One night at a Las Vegas-style show, I'd had a... a little too much to drink, and I actually told her, I said, listen, come back! Even if I have to pay myself, come back and work. And then she called the next day, and she said, were you serious about that? And I said, of course not. 100% not.
You tease.
Yeah, no, I miss having her around. She was,
yeah, I mean,
she was good.
We can only hear what she sounds like on the radio, but... we can just imagine what she actually looks like. You know, she's got to be
a
knockout hottie.
I think it's important to point out now that Charlie Broyhill will be hiring the best qualified candidate.
With breasts. Derek, buddy. All right, you have
Doug.
Doug. Hi, what do you want?
Hey, radio guy, how's it going?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, is he going to leave the station or is he going to be there still?
You know, I got to tell you something. I'm sorry, and I don't want to slam anybody, but I got to... yesterday when we had, and you brought this up on the show, we had Big Gum Jim on the phone. We had calls, we hadn't had calls like this, but we are right back into Rockhead-style calls.
Right.
Right now. He sucks in the morons to this show.
He does.
No, he's crackhead, not Rockhead.
These are all the people that he should have hung up on. These are all screen calls I'm taking.
These
right
are
now.
His people.
Right.
No, you should unload on him.
Enough with this. There's just two people I want to talk to right now.
First, okay, very good.
Rob Grippy, there's no chance you can have this job. Don't bother calling.
Oh, please.
No.
I've been for years for this gym.
Rob, never in a million years.
Oh,
go back and deliver pizzas.
You don't have the initiative.
Go back and deliver pizzas. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye. Dennis.
You want to have a good day,
Dennis, there's no chance we will give you this job.
Dennis, you make more money doing all the things you do surrounding the show.
I know, but, you know, I do have a good game. People call me mother.
Dennis.
People call me your one hand of color.
Dennis, you know how sick people would get of you if you were answering the phone?
Do you know how sick we would get of you if we had to see you every day?
How sick would you get, Don?
Dennis, don't you think that the way the relationship works right now with Dennis Murphy Enterprises, don't you think that it's better the way it is?
Okay.
And you get to travel and do more exciting things?
You know, it's much better, like the way you call the show. You know how sometimes you don't call us for 3 or 4 weeks, then when you call, we're all excited to hear from you?
No, but God, that's the way you want it, right?
Right.
A week?
Yes.
Imagine what it would be if you were here every day.
Oh, Christ.
Hey, Don, like, I am very proficient on the phone.
I don't, Dennis, I don't doubt your qualifications. I'm just telling you.
Late 100 type.
It would ruin our relationship.
Oh, okay.
I mean, Dennis, to be honest, you're a star beneath you.
Well, thank you for calling me that. By the way, those shirts are still available.
Oh, the Dennis Murphy shirts, right.
Okay, that's good. You can blackmail us. That's fine.
Your Austin Power shirts, right?
Have you worn my shirts yet? My Austin Power?
I have not worn it. No, I have not.
Oh, I bet free the heck.
I think the shirt is still unworn, Dennis.
Oh, my God. How about you, Mike?
No.
Okay. Oh, man.
But I have your CD on my desk at home.
But your wife took the cover out, right?
No, she just brought it out and said, can we get rid of this?
All right, see, Dennis,
I have a question.
Can you imagine every day coming into the office and going through this in real life?
What?
In real time? You know what I mean? Looking at this guy having that hot breath blow in your face and having these discussions. Every day, having these discussions after every commercial set when we leave the studio?
You know what it would be also? This
what?
Would do it. Well, if you did that job, you'd have far less airtime than you do normally.
Well, I know that, because wouldn't you want that? Wouldn't you want to go?
You know, sometimes sometimes you're just too tenacious. You know that?
No, I told you yesterday when you called about it, no.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
You're the mascot of this show.
Thank you.
You got it?
Okay. Hey, guess what?
What?
Harrisburg, Pennsylvania wants me to come up and do a couple of bar shots.
Fantastic.
That's great. We wouldn't let you do that if you were a phone screener.
We're all for that. Go to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Make some personal appearances.
Also, can I say one other thing?
Yes.
I'll be a Saki God on Sunday at Ocean City.
Yes, I know. Listen, you're so hot, Dennis. You're so in demand.
And I'll be on the radio, too, so your mother-in-law can hear me.
What time are they putting you on the radio?
Oh, he's a pest today.
They're having a pre-Super Bowl party, and they want me to show up and have a couple of, have some input to the show.
Yeah, have a couple of cocktails.
Jesus Christ.
Well, Robbie, where's the train wreck sound effect?
Oh, my God.
That's a train wreck if I've ever heard of. You're having a Super Bowl show, and you invite Dennis Murphy down to give expert commentary while you're plying him with cocktails.
God, I would like to tell you that I do know a lot about football.
I don't doubt that, Dennis.
I know a lot about college basketball.
Would you like to give Dennis a football quiz?
Dennis, how many members of the Jacksonville, Tennessee defense can you tell me from last week's AFC Championship game? How many members of the Jacksonville Jaguars or Tennessee Titans defense can you name?
Kirky from Tennessee.
Curse.
Kirky.
No, the name is Curse.
Oh, okay.
Javon Curse.
That's the only one I know.
Listen to that. First off, he only knows one guy.
And then he says,
and then he drops the S bomb.
Okay. All right. So I know five Jacksonville players are going to Pro Bowl.
Well, that's pretty good.
Well, big deal.
Huh?
Big deal.
Okay. And I know Steve McNair is a quarterback. And I know Scott Brunel, who you love.
Mark Brunel.
Oh.
Yeah, I can't wait to see hear your commentary at that Super Bowl show.
Thank you. Who wears number 27 for Tennessee?
Oh, Eddie George.
All right, you got one right. Who wears number 87 for Tennessee?
89 is Whitechuck.
Who wears 87?
87 is a wide receiver.
Duh.
Emmitt Smith.
Emmitt Smith?
No, my last name is Smith.
No, it's Yancey Thigpen.
Oh, okay. Okay, Don. I think you made your point.
Who wears number 80 for the St. Louis Rams?
87 is tall, I know that.
Who wears number 80?
Oh.
I know this one. I get into it, too, because I have a cursory knowledge of it.
I don't know.
Yes,
is it Isaac Bruce?
Yes, Isaac Bruce! Dennis, what's the name of the little middle linebacker for the Rams?
Okay.
London Fletcher.
That's a good name. I like that name.
Okay, I am not privileged in NFL talk.
Who's the defensive coordinator for the Jacksonville Jaguars?
Oh, Capers.
I already knew that one.
Okay.
Dom Capers.
And who was Dom Capers formerly with?
Carolina Panthers.
No, he does like his
softballs. Some softballs, though.
Well, they have softballs because I know the answer.
Yeah, I know.
That's why they're softballs.
Hey, look, give me your softball question. I'm sure I'll know.
Goodbye, Dennis.
Can I give a shout out to Montgomery County?
No. Come on. Go away.
No,
enough of you today. Enough today.
Dennis, you are really a pain in the ass today.
Enough.
Okay.
Enough. Goodbye. Go do your personal appearances. Go do your Super Bowl radio show.
Okay.
Okay?
All right. Have a pleasant night, Don.
I will.
Mike.
Yes, Dennis.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bug.
Yes, Dennis.
As always, I love you.
I love you, too.
And Don, I'm out of here.
Thank God.
Oh, come on, Don.
Come on. Dennis.
What?
God, hang up the phone.
Adios.
This is why Charlie's ready to kill him most of the time. I mean, Charlie gets this off air. He really, when Dennis is just, I want.
Jesus Christ, could you imagine that? Could you imagine coming into the office every day and have him sitting there behind the desk? Hi!
Dennis's show business motto is always leave the audience wanting less.
Time out. But enough discussion about Rockhead. And please, no more. Listen. Tom, there's no way you can have that job.
Which one?
The phone screener job.
I can have it if I want.
No, you can't. And all of our regular idiot callers, please stop calling. This position is not open to you.
It's open to me. I can come in and do the
phone. No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't, Tom.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't, Tom.
No, and you're not Charlie. So stop talking like him. I never want to hear you talk like him again.
All right.
I tell you what. You can be the phone screener when you can spell the word thalidomide. Go look that one up, Tom. I'll see you.
There he goes. Off to his dictionary. Never says goodbye.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Who's this?
This is a very special call. Hello, is this G. Gordon Liddy?
Yes, it is.
This is Regis Philbin. How are you?
Hey, Reg.
How are you, Gordon?
I'm 70 today.
Hey, big guy, I thought I was calling in for your 30th birthday.
Hello! La, 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 the Don and Mike Show.
Are you ready for a story about Kathleen Turner?
Kathleen Turner? You know, we've spent a lot of time, Larry, on this show talking about Kathleen Turner and her...
I think the reason...
pronounced way of speaking.
The primary reason we were talking about Kathleen Turner was the accent that she has that is so unusual. That sounds like a combination of, I don't know what country I'm from, and I've had 16 or 17 martinis.
Well, we talked about her a lot, Larry.
Larry.
I'm always pleased to be here on the Larry King Show, Larry. Why am I speaking differently from when I was in the movies on... I'll tell you why.
Someone sent us a letter with an article about Kathleen Turner that I believe was intended to put us in our place.
All right, very good.
Okay?
Good. That's a fine idea. I did Romancing the Stone with Michael Douglas. Larry. You might have remembered my early work, Body Heat. I was so hot in that movie. But then I started thrusting my jaw out and speaking like this because I'm refined. Back when I worked with William Hurt, Larry, I was very young and nubile. And by the time I got to do the movies called Water Roses, my accent was totally screwed up.
And then watch me in Serial Mom.
Yes.
Really lost any chance of speaking like the woman I used to be.
Serial Mom would be one of the movies where the accent comes through in the movie, which Larry. Is so unusual, Larry.
Kathleen Turner. Arthritis agony put me in wheelchair.
Oh, dear.
But I'm fighting back.
Okay.
Screen star Kathleen Turner. So, and this was sent in a plain envelope.
Uh-huh.
And it was sent, I believe it was delivered to Don and Mike Hate Mongers.
Oh, dear.
A title that we proudly wear.
Yeah, we've had that one for a long time, and we don't think of ourselves as hate mongers.
However, if you do choose to put that moniker on us, we would accept it. Very the hate mongers.
Screen star Kathleen Turner has revealed for the first time how she was almost permanently crippled by an agonizing bout of rheumatoid arthritis.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, let's see. She was ravaged by the ailment, confined to a wheelchair. Yesterday, a year after going into remission, she still cannot use several of her toes.
Larry, I can't move my toes.
That's all right, Kathleen. Let me get down there, and I'll chew off the nail.
Now, what this would have to do with her affected way of speaking...
No, and you know something?
I don't see it.
I've seen an awful lot of stunts that she's done, or a lot of physical activity in her movies.
Here's a quote from her.
My toes just don't work. They just flop around.
That's the quote from the story with Kathleen Turner.
Oh, toes. Can you imagine perhaps late at night she's looking at the toes going, move, toes, move.
Now listen, as you follow along on our Kathleen Turner speech flowchart,
yes,
you'll know that we have targeted around the time of War of the Roses.
Yes.
And we always maintained that she was just taking herself way too seriously, and at some point she crossed...
that's why we made fun of her, because we considered it to be an affectation.
She crossed over from being a woman who was very hot in her movies.
Right.
She was a woman who had the unusual talent of being good-looking.
Right.
Funny.
And a good actor.
And a good actor. She was all three.
Yes.
I mean, if you got her in the movie where she really acted, and she took her clothes off.
Sure.
And she had some funny scenes.
She was Babe-alicious.
You were in heaven.
Yeah. And then that's really what we thought, is we began to notice an affectation in her speech where we thought she was doing it because...
simply because she was an actress. It makes me, Larry, it makes me sound more refined. You see, if I have an accent that you cannot identify, Larry, it makes me more of an exotic personality.
Now, it says here that the arthritis was started in 1990, a year after her smash black comedy, War of the Roses, which on our Kathleen Turner timeline is the same time that we have the affected speech with the jaw sticking out.
Yeah, and Serial Mom, she did a lot of running around in that movie.
Right. Yeah.
They told me to buy bigger shoes.
Oh. That's a quote.
Oh, these feet. I was told to wear a neck brace.
Really? Yes. They wasted a year in serious bone matter. Kathleen Turner, who packed on more than 20 pounds due to the drug cocktails, says life became unbearable because of the pain, and it took a toll on her acting career. All right, let me see. Then about the Moonlight and Valentine with Whoopi Goldberg. My face puffed up from all the... this is the part, I guess, that we're supposed to feel bad about now.
Okay, all right.
Her face puffed up from all the drugs, and everyone starts to say, oh, well, she's drinking. I thought that was a better rumor than being unable to be insured. I didn't tell anyone about the problem with my toes because I was afraid I wouldn't get work. After suffering for 6 years, the gutsy actress found a doctor who helped her off the heavy medications and stabilized her condition. Well, I believe we may have the answer to the riddle about the speech.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if it's the medication.
If it's the medications, Larry.
But, you know, even with your medications, there is some sort of... there's always this kind of accent that she had when she was being interviewed, which I think goes back before she had the problem with the toes.
And I'm very sorry for the problem with the toes. I wouldn't wish that on anybody.
No,
but
no, if that is true, we are very sorry. We never made fun because we thought she had some sort of infirmity, Larry.
It was always the way she spoke. And I believe she spoke about herself in third person, Larry. Well, Kathleen Turner needs a more challenging role in her next film, Larry.
Larry, you are such a great interviewer. You let me speak for hours anywhere I want to.
It's because I want you. I don't care about your toes. Oh. Tell me, does everything north of your toes still work?
Oh, yes, Larry. Yes, Larry. But what about this Sean Southwick, this lady you're in love with now?
Have you seen my new book?
No.
Daddy Day, Daughter Day.
Oh, it is a super charming book, Larry. Such a charming children's book you have written, Kathleen Turner.
Kathleen,
loves you.
I would like to send you some gummy bears. Do you like maraschino cherries?
I'm sorry, I'm unable to chew them properly.
Larry? Because of your toes.
Because of my toes.
The arthritis in her toes.
That's right.
Making it unable to chew a gummy bear.
It is simply my opinion with that article that the toes don't have anything to do with the way she was talking.
Kathleen Turner has two new movies coming out this year. She plays a diabolical doctor in Baby Geniuses, and an evil fairy godmother in the movie A Simple Wish.
Okay.
I have to be active.
I have to be active every day. Keep the blood going. Keep the movement through the joints.
Now the sexy star is fit enough to exhaust a woman half her age. She swims half a mile every day and frequently works out in the gym.
Well, see, that's a good thing, because I think she's still young enough
where if she does go on that workout regimen.
She's 42.
Is she 40? Yeah. See, that's a, she
she's
can still,
42, Larry. She can still be dreamy. She can be body heat dreamy. You remember her in Body Heat?
Yes, and even in the movie with Michael Douglas where she took that big, big ride down the waterfall on the side of the mountain.
Oh, yes, and then shortly thereafter, Michael Douglas came down face first, and we all know where he ended up. Yes, sirree. What a scene that was. Oh, boy. This is a fun movie to make, being Kathleen Turner.
All right. Well, there's the update.
Okay. Well,
from someone trying to put us in our place. Thank you. I believe we answered that on Hate Monger's Corner.
Yes, we did.
Join us tomorrow when we'll be discussing our many discussions on the frailty of Bob Hope, another one of our many pointed barbs that we simply cannot back our way out of.
You know, and hate monger is a term that we've heard before, but a hate monger is somebody who perpetuates hate. Well, that's right. It does apply, doesn't it?
Yes, it does, Mike.
Yes, it does.
Although we don't hate Kathleen Turner, we simply want the answer on why she's speaking this way, Larry.
Right.
We don't hate anyone. We wish everybody could be friends. And I personally think the whole thing will add to the Kathleen Turner image. Oh, for God's sake, when we are dancing, do not step on my feet. Please do not step on my feet.
Okay, that is the Kathleen Turner update, and we thank you, whoever you are.
Good.
Person who didn't sign your name.
I also got some stuff here about Jimmy the intern.
Really?
Oh. Yes. Another complaint letter about Jimmy.
Jimmy gets a lot of complaints.
And I wanted to bring him in yesterday to talk about the other Jimmy at the station.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Big Gum Jimmy. Because I was under the assumption that he had traded on what he believes are his Nicolas Cage look-alike features to score with a chick.
Mirror twins, Nicolas Cage and Big Gum Jim. Not.
That's what he thinks.
Yeah, he thinks so, though.
I mean, maybe. You know, maybe if you're, like, lying upside down and you've been beaten about the head and your eyes are very puffed like Rocky Balboa and he said, cut me.
And somebody takes you into the funhouse to look in the funhouse mirror.
Then you would say that Big Gum Jim looks like Nicolas Cage.
Absolutely.
And is Nicolas Cage on the verge of overexposing himself?
He works a lot, and I think he's made some choices that are kind of so-so, but...
Well, he's got Con Air coming out,
right,
and then he's also got a movie with John Travolta coming out, which normally I would love, because they're both really good actors.
Right.
But the plot of the movie with John Travolta is where they each have plastic surgery.
Oh, really?
So that they each look like the other.
And John Travolta's making a lot of movies now, too. He seems to be making one every 6 months or so.
Yeah. Well, just watch it, Nicolas Cage. I think a star of John Travolta's magnitude can handle this, but I'm not sure that Nicolas Cage can.
Hmm.
We might burn out on Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, that's true, and it all depends on the kind of choices. If you pick a few stinkers in a row, you're going to be in trouble.
Okay, so cut the chit-chat. A hole. Where is that tape at? That's one that should always be at the ready.
That's a quality tape from our very good friend Nicolas Cage.
Big Gum Jim thinks he looks like him.
That's incredible. I mean, how late does he must? What time does he get to the bars? Like quarter of one to make that deal?
And I think he scored with a girl based on that again.
Now, who was it? Big Gum Jim that was saying these are lies, lies, all lies. That Jimmy is spreading a pack of lies.
Yeah, but I would stick with the word of our surfer lad.
He's slow, but he's honest.
Jimmy the intern. Before I read you the latest charge against you, faxed in by one of our loyal listeners. First, let me ask you about the latest controversy involving Big Gum Jim, the supposed Nicolas Cage lookalike.
Now, Jimmy will come up to you guys and say lies, lies, lies.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
But Jimmy doesn't know Jimmy when he gets in there and starts drinking. All right, his guard goes
down. Now, wait, which Jimmy are you talking about? You're not talking about yourself in third person.
Please refer to him as Big Gum.
Okay, Big Gum Jim.
Okay.
When he gets in there into the bars and he starts drinking, the whole thing, you know, in, like... During the day, if you call him Nicolas Cage, he does get mad. I mean, he does not like it.
Rolls his eyes and says, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
He agrees with everybody else. He's in touch with reality, in other words.
But once the liqueur becomes, running through his veins.
The liqueur.
He does not mind. He does not mind. In fact,
So when did this happen? Jimmy, what evidence do you have?
This was on Friday night.
Yes.
And what happened was we were with a couple of other guys. And one thing I've noticed about Jimmy, too, and I was thinking
Big
about
Gum?
This. Big Gum Jim.
Yeah, okay.
Is that he almost
has... brand new concept. I know we just gave it to you. Please call him Big Gum.
Remember, Mike, you got a 6 on the IQ test.
I know.
And we're really proud of you, Jimmy.
That's right.
Getting that 6.
Jim McClure even has now the stance You know, he actually...
All right, how does he stand if he stands like Nicolas Cage?
You know how on the Con Air poster, Nicolas Cage is kind of like this?
The Nicolas Cage stand. Yeah, he's got a walk and a stance about. But Big Gun Jim could only stand like the Scarecrow in the Wizard of Oz.
I need the evidence. Or as Huck Sawyer. Who was it?
Huck Finn. Ben.
Huck Finn and Tom Sawyer.
Tom Sawyer, yeah, man, with a piece of wheat in his mouth. Yeah.
When did this happen? What is your proof?
On Friday night, well, we were with other guys, and one guy went up with Jimmy to this girl.
Big Gum, you mean?
Big Gum Jim. Damn it.
Right. So I know it was only 5 seconds ago we gave you that concept.
To this girl, and says, hey, would you like to dance with my friend? Hey, you know him. He's Nicolas Cage.
So you had a friend who went to the girl and said that you guys were with Nicolas Cage.
Right. And the girl looked at him and said, oh, my God, you're that guy that goes around to all the bars and says you're Nicolas Cage, aren't you? And she goes, no way.
Really?
Yes.
No. So did he succeed with anyone?
Oh, no.
Oh, boy, well, the story got all watered down by the time it got to me. Yeah.
Well, a guy here with a short-term memory of a collie. You know, I mean, he doesn't remember the way it is.
Where is Big Gum Jimmy? Let me call him up. Hold on a second. I'll wait on that. Let me read you your letter.
Okay. Oh, he's got a complaint letter. Yes. Two items for Jimmy now that he's in here.
Here's your complaint letter. Dear Don and Mike, and would someone just go find Big Gum Jim, please? Because I can't find his telephone number on the internal phone directory.
Just yell, Nick, Nick.
Dear Don and Mike, I'll start off by saying...
Here comes Nicolas Cage now, yeah.
Hey, buddy.
Hi.
All right.
Yeah, right. Okay. You don't look like Nicolas Cage.
No.
So listen, was the story as I heard it that you were presenting yourself as Nicolas Cage, or was it as I've just heard it now that someone else was presenting you as Nicolas Cage?
Someone else was presenting me as Nicolas Cage, as Jimmy is one to do when he has nothing else to say to a woman.
Oh, he'll say that he'll point at you, use you, and say that's Nicolas Cage.
If there's no denial by Jimmy, then I'm assuming he's accepting the fact.
By Big Gum Jim. Please refer to him as Big Gum Jim.
You guys get a bulk rate on like wigwam jewelry or something like that? What do you?
It looks like the jewelry you'd make at camp.
Nice watch.
You got the watch, but I'm looking at like the rope, and then you got the necklace there, and you got the earring. What's going on here?
I've always had the earring, but the necklace is new. Thanks for noticing that.
What about the chains on your wrist?
Something goofy I wear.
And then, Jimmy, you've got the bracelet.
Those are chains and bracelets and rope, Mike. Don't you have chains and bracelets and rope on?
Yes, I do. Yes, of course.
So what happened when you guys went out on Friday night? Did you meet any girls?
No, I didn't talk to anybody at all. I ended up getting really, really, really drunk.
I'm surprised.
Oh, congratulations. Yeah,
really. I was very hammered. But what happened is I go out with a bunch of guys, and Jimmy and a friend of mine named Craig, every time I walk by them, they're trying to talk to a girl.
Who's the celebrity that Craig most resembles?
Craig was a Hungarian woman you thought I was trying to pick up at the golf tournament.
Craig is a Hungarian woman?
No, at the Underpants Open. Yes. He's always trying to pick up a girl.
I don't even remember that thing.
Doesn't look like anyone famous.
He looks most like the lead singer of Soundgarden.
But if we're talking about a guy, what did you say? Why did you say he looked like a girl?
Because you thought he was a girl, and I was trying to pick him up, and turned out to be a guy. And
it's the youthful energy that keeps driving this show.
I have no idea.
Forget that. But what happened? We go out, and they'll point to me as I walk by and say, look, there's my friend Nicolas Cage.
Jimmy will do that to you?
Jimmy will do this.
Oh, right?
So wrong. No.
Are you saying it's a lie? He's not telling the truth?
No, but I don't do it, but he accepts it, though, when we say he's Nicolas Cage.
I hope this country doesn't ever get in a war.
Oh, can you imagine that? Really?
I swear to God we're going to lose it, because you are like the prime age for guys that we'll send over there.
I'm not going
to
shoot him, you shoot him.
No, you should. Shut up! Hey, listen, don't shoot him! He looks like Nicolas Cage, man! Where's my rope bracelet?
All right, Big Gum Jim, thank you for your appearance. Jimmy, don't go anywhere. Here's your letter.
Okay.
Don and Mike, I'll start off by saying I love your show. I manage a freight company. I get to listen most of the time. Today I called, something I've never done, and asked to play the name game with you. I don't know who answered the phone, but he was very rude. He said no and hung up on me. I understand with your popularity you get a lot of calls. I called back, and this self-important twerp was again very short and holier than thou.
Mm-hmm.
I, of course, will continue to listen to your show and turn you on to others, but I will advise them not to call because of this rude, rough treatment by this heathen. Your loyal listener, Jeff, in Colorado.
Whoever could that have been answering the phone?
That would be you. You know that's you. And when anybody ever sends these letters, it's always you.
Well, now, this I've got to say on Jimmy's behalf that this letter sounds like a pretty thin attempt. Because if the guy called and said, can I play the name game, and you just said no, right. You know, I would only advise you to say no and then goodbye, and then hang up on him. Is this the guy right here? Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello.
How you doing?
Is this Jeff from Colorado?
No, it isn't.
Who is this?
This is Alan from Barrie, Vermont.
Barrie, Vermont.
It was very close. Yes.
Oh, I just wanted to go to bat for Jim. I called up last week, and he was very nice.
Do you remember having a nice conversation with anybody last week, Jimmy?
No, I don't. I usually try to avoid those.
It must have been somebody else answering the phone, but thank you for the compliment. Hold on, let me try to call this
one. Rob's nice, right? A lot of the time back there, Rob is polite, at least.
Very polite. I often feel bad because the callers, once I call them, you know, certain names, will call back to challenge me once again, and he gets the brunt of the...
Why do you have to challenge our listeners?
No need to challenge, Jimmy. I mean, are you growing in the job? Are you getting any better at treating the listeners nicely?
Or is it they who call you to challenge you?
They always challenge me with their fiery intellect.
Does anyone say things...
He's coming from a guy who got sick on the IQ test.
Does anyone say anything about your low IQ when they call in?
No, not usually.
Okay, good. Good. That gets you angry when they do that, right?
Well, I can't say that because they're continually...
Hello, Jeff?
Yes, hi.
They could also comment on your lack of... Well, you're not very particular about who you sleep with. Hello, Jeff. This is Don and Mike.
Yes, sir.
Hi there. We've received your letter.
I know that.
About Jimmy the intern.
Yes, sir.
Listening to him on the radio, does this sound like the guy you were talking to?
Not at all. It doesn't even sound like the same person I was talking to.
Really? Oh, well, you might be off the hook there, Jimmy.
See, I remember this guy.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, and he did call back, and I hung up on him again.
Oh, well, that was Jimmy you received. That was Jimmy.
I see. Okay.
Well, you wrote that big bad letter, and now we're just trying to narrow it down for you.
Yeah, come on. You walk the walk, now you have to talk the talk.
It just seemed to be, when I called back, I mean, I understand he gets a lot of, a lot of callers in and whatnot, and he's got to, you know, go through them and screen them and whatnot. But when I called back, he was
and whatnot.
Condescending with me.
Whatnot.
And whatnot.
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 And whatnot.
And whatnot.
Whatnot. What does whatnot mean?
Yada, yada, yada.
All right, Jerry Seinfeld. Listen, you don't have much firepower to back up this letter.
No, I don't. And the thing, I mean, I was kind of pissed off when I wrote it.
And whatnot.
And
yada, yada. Why were you pissed off?
Well, because, number one, I don't like being hung up on. And I don't hung up on people.
kind of walked right into that one, didn't he?
Yeah.
Okay.
At least we cut the chit chat.
Well, Jimmy, once again, I find you not guilty.
Not guilty,
thank you,
Jimmy.
Sir.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Not guilty in the Dynamite Kangaroo Court.
I love it when he goes free.
Now get out of here.
Bye bye.
And stop spreading those vicious lies about Big Gum Jim. Well, that's the funniest thing of all, because Big Gum Jim really does not look like Nicolas Cage.
No, I mean, if there is a woman out there that thinks he looks like Nicolas Cage, it's very scary.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, Don?
Yes, sir. Yes, would you like a moment to compose yourself?
He couldn't handle it.
All right.
He couldn't handle it. Sometimes the pressure's too much.
It buckled. As Fraser Crane says, I'm here. Or whatever. What did he say?
Hello, Seattle. I'm listening.
I'm listening. We'll be right back. Sorry, we're out of time.
Till we meet again. This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.